next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. John Edwards, popular Democrat, former presidential candidate, will endorse Barack Obama in about half an hour. It's a big endorsement, of course, since Edwards was expected to be a front-running candidate for a lot longer than he was. CBS's Steve Chigaris.
It gives the impression that big-time Democrats that are undeclared at this point are getting behind Obama. And I think that's what Obama's hoping is going to happen here, is that people will see that these folks who hadn't endorsed to this point are now coming out in favor of him.
On the campaign trail today, Barack Obama is in Michigan talking to Chrysler workers about jobs and NAFTA.
When I am president, you will have that partner to make sure that we are rebuilding American manufacturing.
Hillary Clinton says she isn't even thinking about quitting.
Once we have a nominee, which we don't yet have, we'll have a unified Democratic Party, and I'm going to work my heart out to make sure we elect a Democratic president.
Clinton talks tonight to Katie Couric on the CBS Evening News. A $290 billion farm aid bill has passed the House, much of which will provide assistance to farmers and food stamps to the poor. California Democrat Joe Baca.
There are 38 million Americans who do not have enough food to eat. This farm bill helps these people.
President Bush has threatened a veto, but the margin in the House, at least, was 3-1, enough to overturn a veto. Another one of Florida's house-eating arson wildfires has been corralled. This as a suspect was brought in after a witness told the police a man was seen setting one fire today. CBS's Peter King.
It could have been much worse than the original estimates were. Now city officials say only about 22 homes were lost. John Chartrand says a man with a front end loader kept the flames from an equipment shed from burning down his house.
Picked it up and pushed the entire building back here 50 to 60 feet.
The shed is gone, but like many lucky people here, John Chartrand's house is still standing. Peter King, CBS News, Palm Bay, Florida.
The Bush administration has added polar bears to the threatened list, and Greenpeace says.
Currently, the biggest threat to polar bears' continued existence is global warming, and the Bush administration is choosing not to deal with that. So it's basically neutered any protections the species could have gotten under this listing.
Melanie Duchin at Greenpeace. With polar bears on the list, however, for the next administration, the pretext will be there for more global warming initiatives on behalf of the bears if they choose. He's 4'7", 10 years old, and working hard on his finals in advanced math, foreign languages, and music. Within a year, he expects to be done with junior college and hopes to move on to a prestigious 4-year university. Moisha Kai Kabbalin wants to be an astrophysicist to study wormholes, things that move faster than light. On Wall Street, the Dow up about 66 points today. The Nasdaq gained about a point and a half, and oil prices just under $124 a barrel. This is CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
It seems there's no stopping bugs and the unseen germs they may carry from invading your home. Until now. New Bayer Advanced Home Pest Plus Germ Killer has a unique dual-action liquid formula that kills up to twice as many pests, plus reduces 99.9% of the germs pests may leave behind. One application keeps new bugs out for up to 12 months. Always read and follow label directions. Bayer Advanced Home Pest Plus Germ Killer. Better science, better results.
One very controversial bit of campaign satire has turned up near Atlanta.
Marietta Tavern owner Mike Norman says it's not his fault.
I didn't put that T-shirt together.
But he is selling the shirts. They show a monkey peeling a banana over the text that reads, Obama 08.
If you can't laugh at yourself, the hell you can't laugh.
But protesters outside Mulligan's Tavern aren't laughing.
We are all in this together.
You need to get your off my parking lot is what you need to do.
The 63-year-old Norman denies he's racist. He insists the monkey on the T-shirt looks like Obama.
You know, the big ears and the big smile.
And he says he won't stop selling those shirts. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
Most Americans would really rather not see tractor-trailer rigs get even bigger and harder to stop. The trucking and shipping industries are lobbying hard for increased load limits from 80,000 pounds maximum to 97,000 pounds. A coalition of safety groups says two-thirds of Americans oppose changing the law, and 80% say the idea of truck trains is just dangerous. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
At Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. That's why every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with roadside assistance and warranty coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles. Only then is it worthy of the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer, our good name. Visit your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for details.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Certified pre-owned limited warranty provides coverage for 1 year up to 100,000 total vehicle miles from the expiration date of the original 4-year 50,000-mile Mercedes-Benz new vehicle limited warranty or from the time of pre-owned purchase if the original limited warranty has expired.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Yo, join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating in San Francisco. My producer, Katrina Rill's, already in the air, and I fly to Missoula in the morning. We'll be live from Montana Thursday and Friday here on the PBC show. Going to check out our affiliate, KMTP, in Missoula, and be part of the Wildlife Film Festival, too. It's going to be a great weekend. And we've got a lot to talk about on the program. Great people to talk with today. Carl Frisch will join us in a moment from Media Matters for America. We're keeping the pressure on the Pentagon about the propaganda machinery. Later this hour, Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, returns to our program. He's got a new blog to tell you about. We're going to talk about the green John McCain. Took a hike in the woods near Seattle yesterday, and he's in touch with nature. Not sure if we have a picture of him actually hugging a tree. And we'll also talk about Cindy McCain, who is flatly refusing to reveal her tax returns, and she's canceled her book deal. I'm not sure if there's a connection, but we'll find out from Cliff later this hour. Next hour, John Eisenberg returns to our program. He's an attorney from Oakland representing some plaintiffs who know, they know for a fact that the NSA illegally wiretapped their communications. They know because the government inadvertently gave them a document that proved it, and then they had to cough it up and give it back. And it's quite a case. There's a lengthy article in a recent New Yorker that gave us more information. And we'll talk with Attorney Eisenberg about an hour from now. Then we're going to talk about the mess in the skies as I get ready to fly to Montana. Kate Hanai from the Passenger Rights Organization is going to join us. The Senate voted last week and did not pass the Passenger Bill of Rights. It went along party lines. And there are state laws now to try to prevent these lengthy runway detentions that can leave us trapped on the tarmac for up to, what, 8, 10, 12 hours? And Kate herself has a horror story from a trip she took a couple of years ago that got her started in the passenger rights game. And her lawsuit is moving forward against American Airlines. Free Speech Zone in our third hour, and a guy who is using his free speech rights, Mike Gravel, former senator from Alaska, has switched to the Libertarian Party. And their convention is in Denver in a couple of weeks. And Mike's going to check in. He is competing with Bob Barr, the Neanderthal conservative Republican former congressman from Georgia who left the Republican Party and discussed about 2 years ago. So that's going to be very interesting. It's all ahead, pardon me, all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And you can call in toll-free at any time at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Joining me now from Media Matters for America and their website, MediaMatters.org, is Carl Frisch. Carl, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Well, I'm just delighted at the work that Media Matters is doing to continue to draw attention to Don Rumsfeld's Pentagon propaganda machinery. Because this is a very important set of issues, and what's even more important is the corporate media, who was most complicit in the delivery of this propaganda from the Pentagon, refuses, for the most part, to even acknowledge that the New York Times has published this expose, and we, to my knowledge, only PBS, the NewsHour, has done a story on this. So the corporate media is condescendingly telling Americans that we don't need to know about how they colluded with the Pentagon to sell us this dreadful war in Iraq.
Well, and you know what's interesting is if this was a story about Hannah Montana showing too much back skin,
yeah,
you know, we'd hear all about it. As a matter of fact, we did hear all about it because all three of the nightly news casts for the networks covered that story and have yet to cover this story, which, by the way, was an above-the-fold front-page New York Times story on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So, you know, the silence has been largely deafening. Very little has been said by the networks. Very little has been said by any of the broadcasters who have hosted these military media analysts more than 4,500 times over the years. You mentioned PBS did a story. The networks, including the cable stations, refused to participate in that story. And NPR did one as well. And again, the networks and the cable stations that were involved again, refused to comment for the story.
Mm-hmm. Now, Carl, I want to ask you to repeat something that you just said because I don't want people to miss it. How many times were these rented generals quoted or allowed to appear on the cable news channels and the main networks?
Well, we did a search going back to January 1st, 2002, before the war, and we've come up with at least, because keep in mind, not everything is available going that far back on LexisNexis or other ways that you would find it,
right,
at least 4,500 times.
4,500 times that these embedded generals were permitted on American broadcast facilities. This includes radio and television, not print, in the summary that I see at Media Matters right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is stunning because, you know, you could rationalize it if it were a handful of times or if there were appropriate disclosure that this is a general who was selected by the Secretary of Defense to deliver talking points here on MSNBC tonight. They never told us that.
Well, what they also didn't tell us, and what they have yet to acknowledge really in any substantive way, there's a third prong to this hidden relationship. You've got the media military analysts, you've got the Pentagon's program, and then you've got the defense contractors that many of these analysts worked for or consulted for.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got people taking the talking points from the Pentagon or the administration, going on television while at the same time seeking government contracts for the defense contractors that they work for.
Yeah, and that detail has rarely, if ever, been disclosed. In your search, did you ever find that even the Chyron, you know, the text on the
sure
screen, said that this general is a consultant to TRW?
Now, you know, one thing, I'll make 2 points. First, NPR has, you know, made it public that when they learned of the breadth of their analyst involvement with these defense contractors, they relinquished the use of their services. Our search of the 4,500 instances does not look at precisely what was said each time, although we did make sure that they were talking about issues of national security, the war in Iraq, Afghanistan, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if people, you know, have the time, the Pentagon has released more than 8,000 pages of information through the Freedom of Information Act, in which they make it very clear that they were giving talking points and marching orders to these retired military folks as military analysts for the networks. And, you know, you've got Brian Williams, who's the only network anchor to really respond, and of course he did it on his blog.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody reads his blog every day, so they're, you know, kept up to speed.
Well, and let me tell you a little story here about NBC and its lack of sensitivity about these issues. I was at a social event and happened to get seated next to Neil Shapiro,
mm-hmm.
who was the president of NBC News at the time. This was in 2001, but before 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I just casually mentioned to him that I watch MSNBC a lot and the Hardball Show, and that I had recently seen a number of segments that were talking favorably about nuclear power and how it's been kind of reevaluated and we're taking a new look and it won't contribute to global warming and that kind of thing. And I said, Neil, I've seen these segments and never once was it disclosed that NBC is owned by General Electric and that GE is one of the major manufacturers of nuclear power plant turbines and other equipment. And he looked at me and said, oh, I'm sure it was just an oversight. And I said, Neil, I watch very carefully. And I said, I have never seen that disclosure. And he asked the waiter for another drink and said, well, I'll look into it.
Right.
But he had no sensitivity about that.
In fairness, he might still be looking.
Yeah. Well, apparently Neil Shapiro is now working for PBS.
Right.
And I that was news to me, and I'm a little disappointed.
Well, you know, and that's a systemic problem. You know, Williams on his blog post said, basically, trust us. You know, well, it's hard to trust when you're not willing to talk about this issue. Look, we understand it's embarrassing for the networks. Nobody denies that this is embarrassing. For the American people to be told in the New York Times that these military analysts that have been hosted more than 4,500 times have been shilling for the Pentagon
mm-hmm.
while they've got contracts under consideration, et cetera. Everybody understands it's embarrassing for the networks that they've been, you know, at least, you know, in a good light, been duped. But despite the embarrassment, what's more embarrassing is how this reflects on their integrity as journalists. And, you know, they do need to speak out. We've got an action going on our website right now at MediaMatters.org, and people can go there to read all of this information because it really is startling when you get into the nitty-gritty of it.
Well, and thank you for publishing this chart of the top 20 rent-a-generals who have appeared on television. I'll just give you the top five here. David Grange was on CNN and its headline news channel 921 times.
At least.
Donald Shepard, 713 times on CNN. Barry McCaffrey, a lot of people know him. He used to run the drug war, and he's been on NBC's channel 642 times. James Marks on CNN almost 300 times, and the same for Rick Francona on the NBC channels about 300 times. And so this gives you an idea of the depth and the way they went to the same people over and over again.
They employed these people as special contributors. So that they could have their analysts to come back to.
Yeah.
So not only were they going to these people over and over again, but they were also collecting paychecks.
And the head of CNN at the time, his name is not on my lips, but he bragged about how he went to the Pentagon and gave them a list of generals they were thinking of putting on television and got their approval.
Well, you know, and he's since tried to back up away from that. I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now either. But he's since backed away from that, claiming that, you know, they just wanted to make sure that, you know, these people were actually military leaders.
Yeah, right.
Because that makes sense. Yeah, well, they don't have LexisNexis.
Time to take a break here. Carl Frisch with us from MediaMatters.org. Go to the website, read this information, and I encourage you to contact your favorite member of Congress or even people who aren't your favorites. Peter DeFazio of Oregon has weighed in on this issue, and there are others, too. So check the list there on the homepage at MediaMatters.org. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
Molina Guest Home in Watsonville reminds us the care and support of our older Americans is a year-round concern. If you're aware of a senior living alone, please check regularly on their health and safety. Any assistance you can lend, a trip shopping, an invitation to dinner, or even a simple visitor call can help assure their safety and make a difference in the joy they experience in everyday life. This message from Molina Guest Home in Watsonville. Remember, love is ageless and growing older should always be graceful.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
There's a good reason why SC41 Furniture is using all-natural, chemical-free mattress components. A lot of us have asthma, allergies, or trouble breathing at night. We deserve a clean, pure sleeping environment to breathe more freely. And for the rest of us, we want a mattress that we know has no chemical residues or odors. Our natural latex and all our textile components are certified ecologically pure. That's the SC41 mattress. We're so convinced that all natural is the way to go that we're also carrying old world craftsman quality furniture that is extremely sturdy, beautiful, and eco-friendly. And we've developed a line of special oxygen pillows for deeper sleep through deeper breathing. At SC41 Furniture, we have a reason for the things we do. Well, actually, several reasons. And they all add up to a clean, healthier, and comfortable place to be. SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Time for more on the Peter B. Show.
Be able to stay home, brother.
not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised.
Well, the references give it away. That's a rap song before it was called rap. Gil Scott Heron, going back to about 1969 or 1970, the revolution will not be televised. And we have corporate networks who got into bed with the Pentagon, and now the story is out well after the fact, and they won't even own up to it and admit it on their own channels. And if you go to MediaMatters.org, there's a detailed study. You can even read some of these Pentagon memos for yourself. But more than 4,500 quotes or different appearances by these Renta generals were inserted into the U.S. media. And this was the reverse embed. We know that journalists embedded with troop units in Iraq. But this was an embedding of a different kind. And once again, I credit John Stauber, who went on the NewsHour and very courageously talked about this propaganda machinery, the way the generals were recruited, and most importantly, that this is flatly against the law. Every Pentagon spending bill, going back to the 1950s, includes a clause that says that this money cannot be used for domestic propaganda. And so even a signing statement wouldn't have wished it away, because this has been on the books since before Bush became president. Carl Frisch of Media Matters is with us. And Carl, that legal issue is very important, because yes, we can talk about the embarrassment, and yes, we can talk about how we were hoodwinked, but this was flatly against the law.
And that's one of the reasons why we're sort of, you know, there is a silver lining here to this story. Despite the media being so largely silent on the issue, Congress has been calling for accountability. You've had Senators Russ Feingold and John Kerry contact the the Government Accountability Office to get answers on this issue. You had Senator Lautenberg and Hillary Clinton write Secretary Gates at the Department of Defense demanding answers, and Carl Levin, who's the Senate Armed Services Committee, write to Secretary Gates as well. Then you've got a host of, you know, nearly 50 House members who have either contacted the Department of Defense, the Federal Communications Commission, or the Government Accountability Office, calling for hearings to get to the bottom of this, because certainly my understanding is that the only way that the DOD or the Pentagon can participate in propaganda is if it's signed off on by Congress. So I think that's something that has to be looked into. And
well, we do have a
track record here, too, that goes back for this administration. People forget so quickly about people like Armstrong Williams, who was being paid to promote Bush policies, or Maggie Gallagher, who was being promoted or paid to promote Bush policies, or Jeff Gannon, who was, you know, in the White House press office, press room asking softball questions, or the fake press conference by FEMA after Katrina.
Brownie, yeah.
You know, this administration has a track record of participating in these fake news events, not to mention the video press releases that were sent out to networks and encouraged to air as actual news coverage.
Right. Let's go to Hal in Coos Bay. Thanks, Hal, for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, hi. This is probably a little bit askew of exactly what you're talking about. However, what you were just talking about kind of reminded me of a couple of years ago when they were trying to rationalize their propaganda machine by saying that, you know, it's a good thing to spread propaganda, especially in other countries, and you know, these guys have well been known for all that. But my question was, isn't there a pending? Hasn't Rumsfeld been indicted by the World Court? And why don't we ever hear anything in the media about that, reminding us that he is still negligent on responding to the world law,
court.
I don't believe he has been formally indicted.
Yeah, I don't either.
There was an effort to serve some papers on him on a visit to Paris recently, but that was under the original jurisdiction of a prosecutor in France, and in fact, the effort kind of fell apart. Michael Ratner from the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York actually went to Paris to try to deliver this to Rumsfeld, and Rumsfeld snuck out the back door of the place where he gave a speech and into the U.S. Embassy. So he knows they're after him, and he's on the run. And he's somewhere north, okay, south, or east, or west, with the WMD. Thank you, Hal. Carl Frisch, thanks for joining us today, and thanks for the work you're doing at Media Matters.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Coming up next, Cliff Schechter, author of The Real McCain. We'll talk about Johnny Straight Talk.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by The Coop from Verizon Wireless. With a big keypad and an easy-to-read screen, it's a hassle-free phone that's easy to use. I'm Sam Litzinger, sitting in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Maybe you thought the Star Trek fans were a little unusual. So are the Star Wars people, apparently. Take, for example, the guy who dressed up as Darth Vader and attacked some other guys who say they're members of the Jedi Church. Does Luke Skywalker know about this?
I am your father.
More after this from Charlie.
Thank you, Sam. When you're finally retired, you can do all the things you've been wanting to do but never had the time. Being on the go, you will need a cell phone you can rely on. But you probably don't want to deal with some complicated phone with lots of tiny buttons. Verizon Wireless has just the phone for you. It's called the Coop. It has a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. And since it's backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal and Verizon Wireless, you know it's reliable. The Coop from Verizon Wireless. Everything you need and nothing you don't. To learn more, call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today or visit a Verizon Wireless store near you.
Indoor and outdoor allergies? Stick it to them. Switch to Allivert, the quick-dissolving allergy medicine that bursts into action the instant you stick it on your tongue. So you know non-drowsy allergy relief is on the way. Claritin can't beat the strength of Allivert, and Claritin costs a lot more. So switch to Allivert. Experience the relief and start saving more this instant. Visit Allivert.com for your $4 coupon.
Use as directed. Price comparison based on IRI data as of 3/23/08 on average price of daily dosage brands or trademarks of their respective owners.
It happened in a courtroom far, far away. Well, okay, in Wales, but that's pretty far. 27-year-old Arwell Hughes has been given a suspended sentence for dressing up as Darth Vader, wearing a garbage bag for a cape, and assaulting the founders of a group calling itself the Jedi Church. Police say Arwell attacked Jedi Church founder Barney Jones, a.k.a. Master John Behehole, with a metal crutch. What, he couldn't afford a lightsaber? Hitting him on the head, according to prosecutors. They also say he whacked Jones' 18-year-old cousin, Michael Jones, known as Master Mormy Hehole, bruising his thigh in the incident. The two cousins set up a local order of the Church of Jediism last year. Jedi, or Jediism, as it's sometimes called, as that little pointy-eared guy tell you he could, is the faith followed by some of the central characters in the Star Wars films. Hughes' attack was recorded on a video camera that the cousins had set up to film themselves in a lightsaber battle. Hughes claimed he couldn't remember the incident, having drunk the better part of a 2.5-gallon box of wine beforehand. Yeah, that could explain a lot. Now, this is an unusual story, but what I found even more unusual is that in the 2001 United Kingdom census, 390,000 people listed Jedi as their religion. May the Force be with us all. The Osgood File, Sam Litzinger on the CBS Radio Network.
Looking for ways to improve and beautify your landscape with sound environmental practices and enjoy seasonal produce from your own land? Well, Tree of Life Ecological Services offers landscaping and design to suit your specific garden needs, large or small. Contact Tree of Life Ecological Services at treeoflifees.com or call 831-566-EDEN. That's 566-3336.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America. Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown?
Oh, yeah.
We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
In this portion of the Peter B. Collins Show, we will exercise our right brains and do a little Republican bashing. Cliff Schechter joins us. He's the author of The Real McCain, great new book that's out in softcover at a bargain price to educate you about the threat of a John McCain presidency, a third Bush term. Cliff, welcome back to our program.
Thanks so much, Peter. How you doing?
Better now. You know why?
Edward?
Just during the lengthy commercial break, where often I take a nap, I clicked onto your new blog, and I saw the entry at the top, and it just made me feel mo better, mo better, mo better.
Yeah, it was a long time coming. So
now let's not be cryptic here, because I want you to have the glory of announcing this.
Well, if everybody that's reporting it is correct, including me, John Edwards, we're at 6:34. It was supposed to happen at 6:20, so he should have already endorsed Barack Obama to be the Democratic nominee to be president of these United States.
Well, Cliff, I've been saving this song for a moment just like this. And let's see if you can identify it.
Watching my hand, holding my face, one more evening gone to waste. No longer do I know my place. Killing time and missing my cues. Watching her belong to you. This could only change my
I don't know if this one's on your iPod, Cliff.
It's not, but perhaps it should be.
That's Martha Davis and the Motels. It's a mid-80s semi-classic on the left coast, and it's called Take the L. And the full line is, take the L out of lover, and it's over.
that's well thought out.
Well, and I've been saving it for this moment because, of course, Hillary won five big delegates in the sweep of West Virginia. And I don't know about you, but I watched a little bit of the coverage. I couldn't take too much more. But they were actually breaking it down as if this is the sixth game of the World Series and a predictor of, what is about to happen next.
Well,
and I just thought it was bizarre as, on the one hand, they talk about how it's over for Hillary. And on the other hand, they're talking about this great victory and what a ding it is on Barack Obama.
Well, what you said there is very telling, Peter, because what I found in terms of media coverage of politics today is that it's if you watch a baseball game or a football game, it's exactly the same as coverage of athletic events. They need the same building drama, and like one side could be winning by 30 points, but if they get this touchdown, they have a chance to get back in it. And it's like they love the sport of it, quite frankly. And they and so many. I mean, I don't want to ever say everybody does this, but many people in the media do this, and it's to our detriment because it's not a sporting event where when it's over, nobody except for the people on either team actually loses anything. Here, what people might lose would be health care, their jobs, their personal rights, and other things. And so it really does damage to the process. And at this point, you know, it is a silliness. I mean, really, since Super Tuesday, she's had virtually no chance. Since the big day in Ohio and Texas,
mm-hmm.
Because she needed to win with a bigger margin than that after the February Obama had. But since then, it's only gotten more ridiculous, particularly after Pennsylvania. You know, if she'd won Pennsylvania with 75% of the vote, then maybe we should talk. But once the delegate math got to be so ridiculously impossible, we can all engage in that kind of discussions about strategy and tactics like we're watching a sports event, but it's over.
Yeah.
And it has been.
Yeah, it is. And yet the networks went long again last night when the West Virginia primary was a foregone conclusion. And they had all these pundits, they get paid flat fees for their seven-figure salaries, but they had actually worked late last night. And there was Dan Abrams. I don't know what the hell he was doing covering politics, and he had a little jazz trio or quartet, which is a nice little touch. But I just thought it was bizarre, overkill, and often quite misleading.
Yeah, and I mean that's really what happens with every channel. I can't think who it is, but there's a guy that does who's a basketball reporter, and on some of the shows recently they've had him on to talk about politics. So that really just finishes off what I was trying to say before.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about Dan Abrams, I mean, you know, he may be a perfectly brilliant legal mind. I know he's a lawyer and everything, but he didn't sort of work in politics before, and now talks a lot about it. And I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to do that. It's just in the manner in which it's kind of done by a number of stations, and then these people are speaking as if they kind of have the authoritative voice on these things. And a lot of times, people that I'd be willing to bet most people watching have a better idea what's going on than they do.
Yeah. So I want to give people your blog address. This is a new blog for Cliff, and you need to know how to spell his name: SCHECTER. CliffSchechter.FireDogLake.com. And Cliff, kudos on the graphics there at the top. I think that's cool.
Thank you. I got to give credit to the Fire Dog Lake team. They did all that, so I can't take any credit. I think it looks fantastic. It's the name of it is the actual name of the blog is Cliff Schechter's Campaign Silo, and it's going to be a breaking news campaign blog just to cover events going on the ground. You know, I'll do it on both sides. Obviously, I have a lot of, I don't want to say I don't have knowledge about the Democratic side because I am a Democrat, but I have a lot of knowledge about McCain I wish I didn't have. It haunts my brain.
Yeah.
So why not find a place to share it?
Mm-hmm.
The book.
I've just bookmarked it, and I want people to do the same. It's called Favorites on a PC, but be sure to grab that address and hold on to it and check in there frequently. Cliff does a lot of great work. And how about some McCain talk? You ready?
Let's talk about the man, the myth, the legend.
Well, I'm working on the myth part here because I have this photo of him nearly hugging a very large tree in the Cedar River watershed east of Seattle on Tuesday, where he separated himself from the denial president on global warming and is trying to position himself as the new Teddy Roosevelt.
Right. Well, it's also part of his whole that I'm really a moderate Republican and I'm really a maverick and an independent because I can actually admit that global warming is happening. Because that's what it takes at this point to separate yourself from the Republican Party is to firmly remove your head from the sand and then maybe look around and not actually propose to do anything about seeing the problems. I got a great email from him today, which I wrote up a post at the campaign silo about eco-friendly... Sorry, my phone just went off. My apologies.
That's McCain. He's calling right now.
About how to get McCain's eco-friendly products. One of them is I wrote a whole thing on it. Let me see some of the great ones you can get. It's good stuff, I got to tell you, Peter.
All right.
You can get eco-friendly T-shirts and polo shirts made from biodegradable fabric, organic cotton hats. And, nothing says John McCain like an organic cotton hat. He's just, they're pandering here, and of course they're reaching out to suburban swing voters, moderates, independents, people that are pro-environment, and he's trying to pretend he's not like the rest of the Republican Party that's busy losing plus 10 Republican seats in Mississippi and Louisiana and places like that where they should win in a walk.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to break himself from the GOP brand, which obviously when 82% of people say that the country's heading in the wrong direction is obviously their brand is in a place, a word that I can't use on the air here. But it doesn't change the fact that John McCain's record on the environment is horrible. You know, he may acknowledge this now, but he was standing in front of a wind power plant, and he's voted against funding for that very plant and others like it in the past.
Well, but it was a great photo.
It's a wonderful photo, and it just reminds you of, yet again, this is George W. Bush, and it will be his third term, as people need to know, because George Bush took great photos in schools with African-American children.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we knew what he did to them as soon as he left. He showed up. They turned on the fake lights in New Orleans when he got there after Katrina, after taking like a week more vacation while people were drowning. And then he showed up, and they took a nice picture, and then he left. And, of course, that's what McCain is trying to do himself. He's going to try and pretend that he's more moderate than he really is on a number of these issues, because he thinks it might work for him. And sadly, unless people report the truth, it might.
Well, I think that hopefully your work and the work of others is going to help educate people, particularly those who think they're mad at Obama because he's not Hillary and are currently threatening to vote Republican in the fall. And anybody who takes a close look at John McCain will find that that's suicidal, that you really would not want to inflict that kind of pain and suffering on yourself, even to try to get, to square what you consider to be, an unhappy outcome to the Democratic primaries.
Well, yeah, and each of the groups that, you know, are at least it's in this primary seemingly heavy support of Hillary Clinton over Barack Obama, need to look at what John McCain will, you know, I mean, if it's women voters who are very supportive of Hillary Clinton, they might want to look at John McCain saying he thinks Alito makes a fantastic Supreme Court judge. If it's elderly Democrats, they may want to look at how John McCain wants to completely privatize Social Security. I mean, all of us obviously need to look at his love and lust for war. And the fact that bombing Iran seems like a brilliant idea to him. And one of his top advisors, by the way, James Woolsey, a neocon, just said the other day that a preemptive bombing of Syria would be a good idea, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't gotten very much play at all in the media, as it should.
Cliff, that's a great litany. Let me just slide back to one of the things you touched on, the Supreme Court. Do you know who wrote the speech that he delivered last week where he, railed against activist judges and promised us more Alitos and Roberts?
I do not know, and I'm frightened to ask.
It seems like something that came out of David Frum or a Bushite of some sort, because not that I, think that McCain is above that kind of thing anymore, but he was pandering in the worst possible way to the far-right court packers of the Republican Party.
Yeah, and I've got a section in the book, in The Real McCain, where I go into how, you know, back in 99 in interviews with CNN and the San Francisco Chronicle, he, of course, faked that he was much more moderate on abortion rights and said that that it was okay, that, you know, he came out and said that that he was more open he was against overturning Roe versus Wade, and he thought that it would be force women into dangerous operations, and this was not the path we should take, and he said a variety of other things. And of course he went back on that, and now more recently he's gone back on the fact that he said that we shouldn't outlaw abortion in cases of rape and incest, that shouldn't be in the Republican platform, and now it's going to be. So he's shown his true colors on that issue a number of times, where he pretends to be more moderate, but in the end he comes back to the most far-right extreme position. The guy he relies on and did in an interview, which I again recount in the book, is Senator Coburn, who you may know.
Tom Coburn, a medical doctor and a far-right nut.
Yeah, one of the most extreme right-wing nuts that you can get. So this is McCain. Again, if any of these voters that are supporting Hillary Clinton right now, if you really do take a look at John McCain's record, and again, you know, another contingent I didn't get to before are many voters who are blue-collar and out there and working hard, and they should know that John McCain's a guy who has approved of virtually every trade deal he's ever seen, except for the only part he doesn't like is that there may be any labor standards or environmental standards in any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want your job to be in Shanghai next year, then I suppose John McCain's a great guy to be president.
All right, as we continue, we're going to talk about a limited apology from Reverend Hagee and John McCain backing away an inch or two. And we'll also talk about Cindy's pledge to not release her taxes. And if there's time, we'll talk about the scariest part of Cliff's book, The Real McCain. That's next. If you want to join our chat, our conversation, call me now, right away. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. A podcast of this program is available. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras. Whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
My name is Todd Hornick, and I'm a candidate in the June 3rd election for Monterey County Superior Court Judge. As a prosecutor for 17 years, I represent you in court nearly every day. In fact, I have more Monterey County courtroom experience than all my opponents combined. I'm asking you to join with the great majority of Monterey County law enforcement associations who are supporting me, Todd Hornick, because of my commitment to victims' rights, a safe community, and the orderly administration of justice. Ask yourself, what makes a good judge? It takes knowledge of the law, the system, a sense of fairness, and the ability to treat every case as unique as the person standing in the courtroom. Judges see hundreds of cases each month, and each one requires the judge's full attention, and I can commit to serving this community for decades to come. I'm Todd Hornick, and I have all the necessary skills and abilities and represent your best choice for Monterey County Superior Court Judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show talking about the frightful prospect of a John McCain presidency. Yes, Bomb Bomb, the presumptive Republican nominee.
Bomb 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 Bomb
Cliff Schechter with us. The book is out, The Real McCain. It's in soft cover for $15. You have no excuse not to pick it up, buy it, share it with a friend who might be on the verge of making that huge political mistake of voting for McCain for whatever reason. You really need to understand who he is and who he is not. And The Real McCain does a great job of helping you grok all that. And next, I want to ask about Pastor Hagee, who has issued a qualified apology to Catholics, and it's been accepted by Bill Donahue, who is a real low form of life, runs the National Catholic something or other. And this all seems,
once again, Cliff, that the media is giving McCain this kind of Teflon treatment, that his pastor is allowed to say some of the most hateful things, but because they're not anti-American and they're not perceived that way, and because Hagee is white, it's really seen as a non-story.
Yeah, I mean, and this is one of the most disturbing things. I go into this in great detail in The Real McCain because it's not just Hagee. Hagee's one of the worst ones, but then again, McCain also, of course, embraced the late Reverend Falwell after calling him an agent of intolerance, and after Falwell said something that I think is quite anti-American, which is he blamed 9/11 on us. I take offense to that.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't really all Americans. It was just all the groups that he didn't like in America.
Mm-hmm. The liberals, the gays,
right,
the abortionists,
yeah.
The ACLU.
People for the American Way.
Right. I've
got some good friends there. They must have been proud. So, you know, there is Falwell, right, not too far from where I'm sitting here near Columbus, Ohio, is Rod Parsley.
Yeah.
Another subhuman species. And I just put up, actually, today on the campaign silo, I just put up a transcript of an audio I got of Ollie North speaking at his church a week ago.
Oh.
Where they both were sitting there and essentially, well, not really essentially, they were calling what we're doing in the Middle East a religious war, a crusade, which even President Bush only said when he stupidly said crusade and didn't know what it meant way back when. But these guys are saying quite explicitly that our soldiers pray, and they pray to a Christian God, and they know where they're going, and that's why they're over there protecting Muslim women and taking care of those that don't know where they're going,
mm-hmm.
don't know where they'll be after they leave this earth, and haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior.
Well, so, we went to the movies the other day on our radio show, and we played the clip from Robert Greenwald and Mother Jones of some selected excerpts of Rod Parsley, and these are fairly recent remarks that he has made, demonizing Islam. And there's also a clip there of John McCain cozying up to him in Cincinnati, but appearing to call him Rob instead of Rod.
What to do with that? Senior moment, perhaps?
Oh, I guess so. Maybe he didn't get enough sleep and the snipers got to him.
Snipers, yes. It might have been that, or perhaps he was busy flying around all night on Cindy's airplane. And that can really tire you out, you know?
Cliff, next hour we're going to be joined by Mike Gravel, a former Democratic senator from Alaska, former Democratic candidate for president, who has bolted to the Libertarian Party. And it's going to be interesting because Gravel is dueling with former Republican Congressman Bob Barr of Georgia for the Libertarian nomination, which, of course, is a ticket to oblivion. But
yes.
It does have the possibility of being a spoiler who will take, if Barr is the nominee, a spoiler who will clearly take votes away from John McCain.
Yeah, if Barr's the nominee, he could do that, certainly, because he is a very conservative Republican, and he I've seen him interviewed. He's going to have to square his own views. I mean, he's a guy that before, as far as I know, was for an amendment to ban gay marriage, and he was for putting judges on the court to outlaw abortion, and he was for a war on drugs. I'm not sure any of those things fit with libertarian ideology. So I'll leave it up to Bob Barr to explain that.
The one good thing I'll say about Bob Barr is that he's been in cahoots with Bruce Fine, and they have, I think it's called the American Freedom Agenda, but it's basically calling on presidential candidates to take a pledge to return to constitutional rule. No signing statements, no spying on Americans, no Gitmo, no torture, Geneva Conventions go back into effect, and a few other issues. And so,
I'll give him credit for that, certainly,
yeah.
Peter, that he's come around. I didn't like where he used to be, but certainly on those issues, and, you know, Bruce Fine is a former lawyer in the Reagan administration, so they're guys that came around, you know, really standing up at this point for the Constitution. I'll give Bob Barr credit there. And heck, you know, if he wants to take votes away from John McCain, God bless him.
Yeah. Now, Cliff, we just have a minute and a half remaining, and I've cued the scary music because I finally got to the last chapter of your book, and you did frighten me. It's called McCain's Cabinet of Horrors. And the part that really caused my throat to kind of choke a little bit was your fantasy that Joe Lieberman would be the Secretary of Defense in a McCain administration?
Remember, let's not call it my fantasy as much as my nightmare.
Yeah.
I thought about the worst possible people where I thought he'd be going, and I thought it would make sense for him to pick Conrad Burns as the Secretary of Interior and Lieberman perhaps for defense, Bill Graham for Treasury, so we can have more war, all of our land polluted, and and we can have the dollar pretty much be worth the peso and on and on. So
yeah,
that's well, what, yeah. I mean, his cabinet would make him almost look good in a way, because he's gonna have to pander to every worst interest group in the Republican Party and yeah. and other assorted morons like Joe Lieberman. So
and finally, Cliff, have you been asked to step in to run the Republican convention in Minneapolis since what's his name, Goodfeather, had to step down?
No, because I have, in fact, not lobbied for anyone that have killed at least six or seven zeros after however many figures of their own people.
You've never lobbied for the Burmese generals?
No, having never lobbied for Somalia or Burma, they didn't feel I was qualified.
I see.
But now I'm hoping if I can start lobbying for Cuba, maybe next year perhaps.
Cliff Schechter, thanks for joining us. Visit his blog, cliffschechter.firedoglake.com, and pick up the new book, The Real McCain. Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks so much, Peter.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties.
The Christians is centered on Satan.
The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
John Edwards endorses Barack Obama.
The Democratic voters in America have made their choice, and so have I.
The polar bear is declared a threatened species.
The habitat for the polar bear is declining. That's what triggered this.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Whatever momentum Hillary Clinton had coming off her big West Virginia win may have evaporated a few minutes ago when John Edwards showed up at an Obama rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
There is one man who knows in his heart that it is time to create one America, not two. And that man is Barack Obama.
For Obama, Vaughn Verver, senior political editor at CBSNews.com, says the timing is perfect.
It is a big coup. You know, it comes after a 40-point loss in West Virginia.
And it's a potentially fatal blow to the Clinton organization.
Their last hopes of this campaign were just to rally party leaders around her argument that she's the best candidate for the general election. John Edwards' endorsement indicates that at least he's not buying that.
But how much weight does Edwards carry? Not much, says Jim Vandenhey of Politico.com.
I don't think that he necessarily brings that much support to Obama. Remember, Edwards didn't do terrifically well as a candidate himself, and in 2004 when he was on the ticket with John Kerry, he couldn't even carry his own state.
Now this.
Did you know your home can help you pay for college or a home renovation?
Here's a Smart Borrower tip, courtesy of the Smart Borrower Center at LendingTree.com.
Because home equity loans are secured by your home, their interest rates are generally lower than non-secured loans, saving you money. Just be smart about how much you borrow and don't take out more than you can afford.
For more information and objective advice on lending, visit the Smart Borrower Center at LendingTree.com/smartborrower today or call 1-800-555-TREE for information and licensing.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has seven models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
With Arctic sea ice melting, the polar bear is now designated by the U.S. government as a threatened species. But as CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports, this might not help the bears very much.
Forced by a federal court to make a decision, Interior Secretary Dirk Kempthorne says he's compelled by the Endangered Species Act to list the polar bear as threatened.
The habitat for the polar bear is declining.
But he makes clear this will not be used to change the Bush administration's approach to global warming or impede Arctic oil and gas development.
We know that the Earth is warming, but man is a factor in that. But we cannot tell you to what extent that may be having with regard to this.
The World Wildlife Fund says it's pleased.
It is a victory for science, huge progress.
But Melanie Duchin of Greenpeace in Alaska says without concrete action,
the federal government has done a great disservice to the American people and the polar bear.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Days after the earthquake in central China, a woman is pulled alive from the rubble. Rescue workers have finally reached the epicenter of the quake. Nearly 26,000 people are believed to be buried in collapsed buildings, and the official death toll, nearly 15,000 now, is certain to rise. The Red Cross now estimates that as many as 128,000 people were killed by the cyclone in Myanmar, and Henrietta Four of USAID says many more Burmese were left homeless.
It is an enormous number of people now that have been displaced, so that we are somewhere between 1 million and 2 million people in Burma that have been displaced.
Relentless heavy rain in the Irrawaddy River Delta has hampered the effort to distribute emergency supplies. On Florida's Atlantic coast, firefighters have spent another day battling wildfires. In Palm Bay, police have arrested a man who allegedly tossed a Molotov cocktail into a wooded area, starting a fire that consumed several homes. Brian Crowder is being questioned about that and other fires in the region. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv reports a massive election year farm bill passed the House today.
A 3-1 margin in favor, that lopsided vote considered veto-proof. Senate passage also expected. Some Republicans, and here Democrat Earl Blumenauer of Oregon, don't like the $288 billion price tag.
We've got lots of money that's flowing to the richest farmers in America who don't need it.
But supporters point to more money for food stamps and to produce ethanol and biofuels. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
It seems there's no stopping bugs and the unseen germs they may carry from invading your home. Until now. New Bayer Advanced Home Pest Plus Germ Killer has a unique dual-action liquid formula that kills up to twice as many pests, plus reduces 99.9% of the germs pests may leave behind. One application keeps new bugs out for up to 12 months. Always read and follow label directions. Bayer Advanced Home Pest Plus Germ Killer. Better science, better results.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, we're going to talk about the airline mess, deferred maintenance, canceled flights, passengers trapped on the tarmac. Kate Hanai is trying to pass a passenger's bill of rights, and the Senate voted it down last week. We'll get the update about 30 minutes from now on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're always welcome to call the Peter B. Collins Show. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. And we can offer you no assurance that your call will not be intercepted, monitored, recorded, transcribed by the National Security Agency. And one of the individuals fighting for our privacy rights, our constitutional rights, and to hold the ground of the original FISA law, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, is Oakland attorney John Eisenberg, who returns to our program today. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's good to talk with you, and gosh, I have to say I've learned a lot more about you and the case in recent weeks. I want to recommend to people a great article that appeared in The New Yorker, complete with some good cartoons, the April 28th edition, and it was written by Patrick Radden Keefe. Now, I've never heard of Mr. Keefe, but from my point of view, he did a pretty good job. What about yours?
Well, it's an interesting article. Patrick is a law school graduate who is a journalist. He's written a book about foreign intelligence surveillance called Chatter, C-H-A-T-T-E-R,
mm-hmm.
published a couple of years ago. That's one of his specialties, and he contacted me last fall to interview me about the Al-Haramain case. So mm-hmm. it was an interesting experience being interviewed and then written about in The New Yorker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I certainly enjoyed it, and my eyes perked up when I saw this story, and in the second half of it, there's some quotes from John Eisenberg. But let's start at the beginning here, because an attorney who, do you represent Lynn Bernabei?
No.
Okay.
No. Lynn was one of the attorneys who was representing Al-Haramain in the proceedings by the Office of Foreign Assets Control to have Al-Haramain declared a terrorist organization.
Right.
She is the attorney who was initially given, by mistake, the confidential document that shows our clients were wiretapped.
Indeed.
She is not one of the attorneys representing Al-Haramain in the action I'm involved in, suing for unlawful wiretapping. She does represent Al-Haramain in other litigation.
Okay. And Al-Haramain is a charity that was started in Saudi Arabia and has at least one office in Ashland, Oregon.
Well, there were a variety of Al-Haramain branches throughout the world. It no longer exists. It has been, I don't know what the right word is.
Dissolved?
Dissolved by the, by the Saudi government.
Mm-hmm.
The Oregon branch, I believe, was one of the later branches created just in the early 2000s, and it too is now defunct, if for no other reason than that all its assets were frozen by the Department of the Treasury
mm-hmm.
as a result of it being declared a terrorist organization.
Right. And we'll get to Pete Seda and the Ashland scene here in a moment. But Lynn Bernabei is a Washington attorney, and she received these documents. And the date is important because these arrived in August or the fall of 2004. And it wasn't until the James Risen article appeared in the New York Times after the 2006 elections. It was in early December, as I recall.
2005.
2005?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I thought...
Let me think about that. Is that right? Time flies so quickly, but yes, that is correct. 2005.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Because because I thought that it came in right after the 06 elections, and I was angry at the New York Times because they sat on the story for a year.
They did sit on it for a year. Eric Lichtblau, one of the authors of the article, has written a book
mm-hmm.
about that, about the pressures on them, and about why they sat on it. Very interesting book. The New York Times article came out in December of 2005. We filed our action in February of 2006,
okay.
Now a bit more than 2 years ago, hard
mm-hmm.
to believe.
And so it wasn't until the Times published that article that the significance of these documents that were delivered to Lynn Bernabei became apparent to you and others.
Right. The documents that were delivered to Lynn Bernabei, it was a stack of documents that were all supposed to be unclassified. She made photocopies and sent them to a bunch of other attorneys and two of Al-Haramain's directors. 6 weeks later, the FBI knocked on everyone's door within the United States and said, please give it back. And nobody thought too much about it. It seemed to indicate that there had been some surveillance, but nobody realized it had been warrantless surveillance until the New York Times article appeared.
And here we go into the Kafka zone, because here's a quote in the New Yorker article. According to Bernabei, one of the FBI agents suggested that as she looked for the document, she should try not to think about what it contained.
Right, right. It's Kafka is right. One of the things I was told was is that, and I've been told by the Department of Justice, is that while I've seen the document and know what's in it, I basically can't tell anybody about it. I can't talk to the judge about it. I can't even think about it. Everything's classified. If I wrote down my memories of what I saw in the document, that too would become instantly classified. I assure you, if they found a way of classifying the part of my brain where this information is stored, they would declare that top secret.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe, you know, they have Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith ready to neuralize you.
Nothing would surprise me in this case.
Yeah.
I have had such bizarre experiences. I had the unusual experience of arguing this case in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals last August, having one of the judges ask me a question. For me to have answered the question would have been a violation of the Espionage Act of 1917. So there I am in court, asked the question. It's illegal for me to answer.
Yeah, it does get really bizarre.
That was weird.
Now here I'm going to read something that you probably cannot comment on. This is from the voice of the journalist, Patrick Keefe. He writes, "The document that the Treasury Department had turned over to Burnaby appears to have been a summary of intercepted telephone conversations between two of Al-Haramain's American lawyers in Washington and one of the charity's officers in Saudi Arabia. The government had evidently passed along proof of surveillance to the targets of that surveillance and supplied the Oregon branch of Al-Haramain, a suspected terrorist organization, with ammunition to challenge the constitutionality of the warrantless wiretapping program." I won't ask you to comment on that, John, but this really is at the nub here because, as you and I have discussed before, the other cases have been dismissed for lack of standing, most notably the case out of Detroit that a number of people who I know have been involved with, the ACLU and some journalists, who said they thought that their calls had been intercepted, but they couldn't prove it. And so the cases were thrown out, and yours is the one left remaining where there was proof that this illegal interception of a conversation occurred.
Well, one of the rules of U.S. constitutional law is basically you can't sue unless something wrong has been done to you. That's standing. You need standing to sue by virtue of the fact that you were harmed by the wrongdoing of what you're complaining, which means for us to complain in federal court that the president has violated FISA, my clients have to have been a victim of that violation. And it's not enough, evidently, to fear as a journalist, for example, that you're being surveilled, or for me to fear right now that this phone call is being wiretapped. We have to be able to prove the surveillance. Because of the government's mistake in this case in turning over these documents, we can do that. Now, you're right. I can't tell you what's in the document. That would be a crime. It's classified top secret. I can't tell you what's in it. But I can say it proves warrantless surveillance. And what we are trying to do is convince the judiciary that judges can look at the document and decide from that that my clients were surveilled and thereby have standing without revealing the contents of the document, which might threaten national security.
John, I admire you because I don't know about you, but I have a hard time keeping secrets and remembering, you know, what I'm not supposed to say and what I'm not supposed to know. And so if you can separate those in your brain, more power to you.
Well, my strategy is to tell all to my cat, Sumiko, not my wife. It's the only secret I think I've ever kept from my wife, and I just tell the cat.
Oh, that's neat to know. My brother has a dog named Sumi, so
okay.
That's pretty cool.
It means charcoal in Japanese. It doesn't mean Sumi, S-U-E-M-E, as in lawyerism.
Indeed. And Sumi is a little Bedlington Terrier with a charcoal coat.
There you have it.
Now, back to the New Yorker, quoting, "The Treasury Department may use classified evidence that is never disclosed to the designated party, despite an established principle of American legal system that the accused should have an opportunity to confront evidence against him. Designations can be challenged before a federal judge, but lawyers for the designating party are not shown all the government's evidence and cannot introduce their own. Nearly 500 individuals and groups have been labeled labeled specially designated global terrorists. Those are first letter capitals. Since 2001, there has never been a successful challenge in court. Well, duh. If you're not allowed to know all of the information that is presented in the accusation, and you're not permitted to respond, how could you ever get this designation thrown out in court, John?
Well, that's where Franz Kafka would be interested. Al Haramain has two actions going. One is the lawsuit for its wiretapping, which is the case that I'm involved in. The other is a separate action up in Oregon now to have the group delisted, removed from the terrorist list. I'm not involved in that action. Other attorneys are handling that, including Lynn Burnaby. We both have the same problem. We all have the same problem in both of these lawsuits, in which we are not permitted to see key documents that have very much to do with what we're challenging. So we just sort of have to guess at what the secrets are and try to argue against that which we don't know, which is really weird.
And as we continue, John, I want you to retell the story about how you went into the federal building in San Francisco. You wrote up some arguments based on what you imagined the government was going to say, and then you weren't even allowed to keep copies of your own documents. We'll talk about that with attorney John Eisenberg as we continue. 888-5-PETER-B if you want to talk with us. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Good afternoon. afternoon. We have some problems for 17. First of all, northbound 17 after Hebert Road, getting reports of a broken-down bus. That's blocking the right-hand lane. An accident in Santa Cruz. Been there a long time now. Northbound 17 after Highway 1. Motorcycle down in the left-hand lane. Crews are still on the scene clearing pieces of sand barrel that guy hit out of the roadway. Tow truck should be there getting that moved, but expect heavy traffic if you are on the approach to that area. Burchell Road at Watsonville Road in Gilroy. An accident where a solo vehicle went off the roadway and landed in a ditch. Highway 68 currently checks in Stalin accident-free. And southbound 1 after Morrissey Boulevard in Santa Cruz. Reports of somebody hitchhiking very close to the lane, so drive with caution there. This is brought to you by your genuine Toyota Service Department's Toyota owners through June. Buy four tires matched to your Toyota by their trained technicians and receive a gas card worth $50. Road hazard coverage included. Visit participating Toyota dealers for details. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hello. NSA. I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
because you,
because you
really listen.
That's my friend the Wag, Roy Zimmerman, dangerous with a guitar. Check out his website at royzimmerman.com. That one's called Hello NSA. And yes, they listen. They really listen. John Eisenberg is one of the attorneys who got proof of the illegal activities that involve the interception of telephone calls without a warrant. It's euphemized as warrantless wiretapping, but that kind of interception is flatly illegal under that 1978 FISA law. And John, take us now through this bizarre experience you had where you were not permitted to view the arguments of the government in this appeal of, you're an appellate attorney, but your appeal that went to the Ninth Circuit and then was handed back to Judge Vaughn Walker at the district court level. And you had to go in there and guess what the government lawyers were going to say and then write a series of responses to them. And the manner in which this was done is just downright bizarre.
Yes, it was pretty weird. This was last summer. The case was pending in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The government was the appellant. They filed two opening briefs, one public that we got to read, the other secret, which we didn't get to read. We were allowed to file our own public and private briefs, a public brief responding to their public arguments and a private brief responding to their secret arguments. That was a challenge because we hadn't seen their secret arguments. So we had to figure out what we had to figure what might they have said and then respond in secret. I was instructed that I could not make any notes in preparation for this drafting session. It had to occur at the Department of Justice offices in San Francisco in secret. I had to do the writing on their computer. One of my colleagues, Stephen Goldberg in Portland, flew down for us to write the thing jointly. We were told that one of our other colleagues in Oregon would not be permitted to participate in the drafting session for no other reason that I can think of other than that they didn't like him. That's Tom Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
So there we went one morning in June of last year to the Department of Justice and did our little secret filing, spent about 3 hours doing the writing, under guard, not armed, I hasten to add, but indeed under guard, in our adversary's offices on its computer, on the adversary, that's the Department of Justice,
right,
their computer.
Mm-hmm.
And after it was all done, we walk out without a copy of what we'd written. That was pretty weird.
Well, but you got a banana out of it, and you didn't report that, John. I'm a little upset.
I did get a banana out of it. I got hungry at about 11:30, and I told the court security officer, one of the two guards, that I was hungry, and she was kind enough to give me a banana, evidently from her own lunch.
Yeah.
I ate the banana. At the end of the session, she instructed us to lay out all of our preliminary drafts in one pile, and she would shred them.
Right.
And then we had to lay out the thing, what we'd written for final for her to take to the judges. I laid all this stuff out on the table in our secret little room. I put the banana peel to the right of it all, and I said, here's the final, here's the preliminary drafts for you to shred, there's the banana peel. She said, I'll shred the banana peel too. Now, I think she was kidding. She was a very nice person who had an interesting sense of humor. However, I'm not entirely sure she was kidding.
Yeah. Now, John, tell us about the Justice Department attorney who is arrayed against you, Anthony Coppolino.
He's a career Justice Department attorney. He is, as far as I'm concerned, a straight shooter. He's doing what he's what his job is. We have a cordial relationship. I think what he is doing is really bad, but that's his job. His job is to represent the president and the agencies that we've sued, and I think he's a true believer in what he's doing. In my view, he is representing government officials who have committed felonies, but I can't fault him for that. I'm a lawyer. We all represent people who, well, most of us, we're not always representing the good guys on either side. So I'm fine with Tony. I think Tony has stepped over the line in ways that he's not responsible for. That's his job. Mm-hmm. He has no business, nobody on his team has any business telling me who can participate in the drafting of a document.
And, John, just 20 seconds remaining. What's new and what is the current status?
The current status is we argued the latest issue before Von Walker on April 23rd. That issue is whether or not we will be allowed to demonstrate our standing under the provisions of FISA itself by having the judge review the document in private to determine our standing.
John Eisenberg, we're out of time. Thank you very much. Keep fighting.
Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
West Virginia's Mountain Mama. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Hillary Clinton has just thumped her party's presumptive nominee in West Virginia, 67% of the vote. She took every single county. Even Obama's flag pin didn't work. And as she claimed victory, there is a supporter standing behind her waving a bowling pin, taunting her bowling-challenged opponent. Party insiders are not comfortable with this. They're a lot happier with a congressional race in Mississippi that most people haven't heard of, the race between Democrat Travis Childers and Republican Greg Davis. Why? Well, it was a special election to fill a vacancy in a Republican district that voted 62% for George Bush in 2004. The Republican Party ran TV spots, linking the Democratic candidate to Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama. Vice President Cheney campaigned there in person Monday, but when the votes were counted, Democrat Childers beat Republican Davis 54-46%. That represents the third special election the Republicans have lost in supposedly safe districts. They lost Louisiana's 6th District May 3rd, and in March they lost the special election for Speaker Dennis Hastert's old seat. It prompted Newt Gingrich himself to issue a warning that Obama bashing won't work, that on issues like deficits, taxes, and even terrorism, voters think Democrats can do a better job than Republicans. In fact, even with his big loss in West Virginia, Barack Obama still got 2,000 more votes than McCain did in winning the Republican primary. All good news for the presumptive nominee, unless too many Democrats start waving bowling pins. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Big old jet airliner. Don't carry me too far away.
Flown on a commercial airliner recently. Was it fun?
Touching down in New England town. Feel the heat coming down. I've got to keep on keeping on. You know the big wheel keeps us spinning around. And I'm going with some hesitation. You know that I can surely see that I don't want to get caught up in that.
I don't think this is the sanitized version, Steve, so I got to fade it there. The funky stuff going down in the city, I think, was the next line of that song. I realize that tomorrow I'm going to hop on an airplane, fly to Salt Lake City, and then change planes and go to Missoula, Montana. We'll be originating the Peter B. Collins Show from radio station KMTP on Thursday and Friday, and it should be a lot of fun. Going to Missoula for the first time and looking forward to visiting Big Sky Country. I have some friends there and also will be part of the International Wildlife Film Festival, which should be very interesting. But it caused me to think that, oh my God, I got to turn to Jell-O. I have to make sure that my mustache trimming scissors is not in my carry-on luggage. I already lost one of those at a checkpoint in Cincinnati a few years ago. Got to make sure that those liquids in my carry-on are under 3 ounces. And it pisses me off. I'll just be honest with you. But there's somebody out there fighting for our rights as passengers because she had a nightmare experience of her own. She's a recovering real estate agent from Napa, California. Kate Hanai, thanks for joining us today, Kate.
Well, thanks for having me, Peter.
And have you had any good flights? So let's start off on a hopefully positive note. Have you had any good experiences with airlines recently?
The only airline, unfortunately, that I've had a terrific experience with has been Virgin America, and I've been flying them since October of last year, partly because a coach seat is comfortable, the flight attendants are happy, the food is excellent, and the planes are new.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance I'll arrive.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's first talk about the problems with airline maintenance that were brought into sharp relief when Southwest and then to a greater extent American Airlines were forced to ground their fleets for inspections and thousands of flights were canceled, tens of thousands of passengers were stranded. And this whole thing is just another example of how bad the deregulation has been for the airlines in this country. Because I applaud the FAA for caring about deferred maintenance, but did they have to ground all of those planes on the same day? They couldn't possibly have been inspecting them all on the same day.
No. I mean, the FAA basically avoided their responsibility in terms of doing the safety inspections and was in the pocket of the airlines and allowed them to go. And you're right. By grounding the planes, it put a tremendous number of people in the airports and unaware of how they were going to get to their destination for days.
Yeah, and I'll be the first to say that if there's a safety issue, cancel my flight, inconvenience me, strand me at a strange airport. But that wasn't really the issue. They were punishing the airlines, but in fact, it was the passengers who paid dearly for this.
Yes, that's exactly right. And we always pay dearly for every issue that goes on with the airlines, whether it's the FAA not inspecting, or a crash, God forbid, or being stuck in the air, inside an airline. And frankly, the bailouts that we've given to the airlines in conjunction with our ticket price means that we're paying a lot more for a ticket than we actually think we are.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm anticipating there will be more of those as the fuel prices go up, and then the mergers also are going to become an issue.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I've already been warned that when I check in tomorrow, my first bag is free.
And the second one?
I guess it's $25. I'm not going to take a second one. But I just find this nickel and diming to be really insulting. You know, most planes now, they have 10 pillows for 180 passengers,
mm-hmm.
Three blankets. And, you know, it's just ridiculous that they play these games with us. And, you know, when you search on the Internet, you can find a low fare, but then they're going to ding you for the add-ons. And now we got to pay for the second bag. And it's just an infuriating reduction in the level of service. And at the same time, we put our fates in their hands when we get on an airplane, and it often comes out badly.
Yes. You know, I really think that you're right, and I agree with you in your opening remarks about deregulation, and that things have gone really downhill for airline passengers since then. And although we're pushing for basic minimum regulation that would, what we feel, bring back our inalienable rights to advocate for ourselves and to be allowed off of planes and to have the ability to even get ourselves a bottle of potable water, go buy a bottle if we need it. Some people are calling for full re-regulation of the industry to fix this, including a lot of the pilots. The flight attendants,
mm-hmm.
they as a union are screaming for re-regulation because they're afraid that the entire state of the airlines is going to go down the tubes without it.
We're talking with Kate Hanai from the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. Their website with a lot of good information is flyersrights.org, F-L-Y-E-R, flyersrights.org. And first up here, Kate, I just want to ask, you have a hotline and a tip line. If I end up spending 6 hours on the tarmac in, say, Salt Lake City tomorrow, which one should I call?
Call the hotline. The tip line's actually for employees to call from airlines. The hotline, I actually see the calls come in on my computer, and if for some reason one of our volunteers doesn't answer it, I will call that person back immediately once the voicemail is left.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 877-359-3776, or an easy way to remember it is Flyers 6, 877-Flyers 6.
Okay.
And, you know, we will take care of everything for the passenger at that moment that they need, and have been very rigorous about it. Occasionally, we don't have a lot of volunteers working the hotlines, and sometimes travel is lower as well.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they go into voicemail, and we call them right back, but usually not. So, you know, it's really, I think, a huge service, and it's one that I honestly believe the Department of Transportation should be doing in their Consumer Protection Division.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the frustrations. When a flight is canceled or other problems develop, the people at the gate are hopeless and helpless and, frankly, can't really tell you very much, and you don't know where to go after that. I was in Rome last year, Kate, and my flight was okay, but there was one of those jumbos was canceled the day before, and I ended up in line with Spike Lee and a bunch of other really angry Americans, and there really was no place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we had dinner with some people who'd been bumped from that flight that day, and they said, you know, we didn't know exactly what to do. They said we could go to a hotel and an airline representative would be there, but nobody was there, and we called in, but they're all speaking Italian, and you know, there is no follow through. when these kind of cancellations or other dislocations occur.
That's right. Ever since 9/11, the airlines have laid off 160,000 people, and they've not brought them back. What they've done is replaced human beings with kiosks. And so you can't go to a kiosk and say, help me. You can pay for your ticket, but you really can't go to a kiosk and get help for those things that you need help for, and customer service is almost an oxymoron now with the airlines. So,
well, and you often end up getting a call center in India. They're very nice people mm-hmm. there, but they don't have the same awareness of our sense of customer service standards, and they're helpless in terms of, well, I don't have a number to call at Delta or American to get to an executive who could actually fix your problem and end your detention on the tarmac.
You are absolutely right, and one of the most disconcerting things that's happened to a lot of passengers is they'll be stuck in the airplane, and it'll be a diversion, which are not, they don't keep track of diversions well within the airlines, and they don't tell customer service that's outsourced where those planes are if they're diverted. So for those of us who are on diverted flights, we can call customer service and they'll say, no, you're not in Austin, and you are,
mm-hmm.
or you're not where you think you are. We've had whole plane loads full of people on American Eagle and United Express be dropped off in Cheyenne, Wyoming and Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, and the planes left, and that was a diversion. And they called customer service, and customer service says, you're not in Wyoming. And they're like, not only are we in Wyoming, but the planes have left us, and they're not coming back.
Wow.
And that was the end of it. So really, just a tremendous amount of sort of what our passengers feel is a callous disregard, and what all the flying public is feeling is a callous disregard for passengers that has sort of maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally happened because of a series of issues that have happened over the last 10 years. And it's gone beyond what we consider to be customer service. At some point, it becomes a safety issue.
Yeah.
And when you've got people going into diabetic shock, you've got people that are critically ill, or who have medications in their checked bags, or any variety of circumstances that we actually witnessed the night of December 29th, then that's a safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there really has to be some minimum standard in place, in our opinion, to protect us, in addition to some other things we'd like to see, like chronically delayed and canceled flights being voluntarily told to you when you go to purchase a ticket. If you're going to buy a ticket on an airline that's always late, or always canceled, or on a particular flight that never takes off, you should know that.
Yeah, it's basic courtesy.
Yes, in most businesses, it's basic courtesy. In the airline industry, it's something else. I don't know what.
So, Kate, recap for us your nightmare story. As you were traveling with your family, I think your ultimate destination was Mobile, Alabama. And this is what radicalized you about the poor service of the airlines and the need for a passenger's bill of rights.
Well, in a nutshell, we were going on a very important family vacation on December 29th, 2006, which was New Year's weekend, and we stepped on to Flight 1348 in San Francisco at about 5:30 in the morning, and it's my understanding that it was just before 7 a.m. when we actually took off. There were some mechanical problems. We get over Dallas-Fort Worth, and we're diverted to Austin, and we should have arrived at our destination in Mobile and then driven to Point Clear that afternoon. But instead, we spent 9 hours and 17 minutes on the tarmac in Austin with overflowing toilets, no potable water, and no food to speak of. We had a half a glass of water from the bathroom sinks to drink at one point, and one tiny 45-calorie bag of pretzels, which I gave to my 11-year-old son. And because he takes a medicine that causes his stomach to be upset, and at mm-hmm. this point hadn't had any food since 3 a.m., and now it's closing in on evening.
Yeah.
So, you know, it took all of us in this situation several days to get to our destinations. Everyone missed whatever it was they intended to be doing for that 2 days, whether it was a cruise, a funeral, a wedding. people were going into diabetic shock on our planes. There were many, many medical events. A dog pooped all over some passengers, and hazmat went to that plane. And we witnessed a lot of that going on outside our aircraft and inside, felt the tension where we were sitting in coach and felt the tension growing in the back of the plane to the point where there were people so hostile they were about to burst out of the emergency exits.
Yeah.
And so no one should ever be forced into getting to that point where they're so powerless that they can't advocate for themselves and take care of themselves. And that's really where what we were rendered completely powerless.
Well, let me take a break, Kate, and then I want to talk about the lawsuit that you filed against American Airlines and the progress there. Also, I want to talk about your efforts to get a passenger bill of rights passed in Washington and a setback in the Senate last week.
Excellent.
We'll take up there as we continue. 888-5 Peter B. If you want to call in, that's 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Checking traffic on KRXA, brand new crash just coming in northbound 101 before 156 east in the San Benito County area. Truck with a trailer, it's overturned and that is off to the shoulder. CHP on the way to check up there. 156 westbound after 101 in Prunedale, we had an accident. Vehicle may have hit a bicyclist. Looks like that's in the final clearing stages now off to the right-hand shoulder. Better news for our earlier crash in Santa Cruz, northbound 17 after Highway 1. That motorcycle crash cleared out of the left-hand lane, but look for some heavy traffic on the approach. And northbound 17 after Hebert Road up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, a broken down bus may still be blocking the right-hand lane. This is brought to you by Mutual of Omaha. Mutual of Omaha, they have the insurance and financial services to help you prepare for whatever tomorrow holds. Mutual of Omaha, begin today. If you spot a traffic problem, let us know. The number's 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain naturally for you, your children, and even your pets. With 8 professionals, techniques like quantum biofeedback, homeopathy, infrared and ozone steam saunas, and lymphatic drainage are used to help rid your body of toxins, which can cause disease. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic pain for years. Trina Hammack uses state-of-the-art quantum biofeedback and Rolf structural integration. I feel better physically and mentally. Cornerstone also offers ionic foot baths, massage, organic microcurrent facials, and the latest in body strengthening and corrective exercise specifically designed for your body so you'll start living pain-free. Tired of taking medicines? Cornerstone uses homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils. Finally, an alternative that really works is here for your entire family. Cornerstone Wellness Center at 1088 Cass Street in Monterey. Call 373-6204. 373-6204.
With my clothes on till the end. Oh, gosh, what a heartbreak. That song jammed up in the CD player. I'm Peter B. Collins, and that's the Naked Airlines song from my old pal, Loose Bruce Kerr. And I guess I've played it so many times that it crashed on me. We're talking with Kate Hanai. FlyersRights.org is the website for the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. And, Kate, you had sent me a song that you and your band did called We Gotta Get Off of This Plane. And I can't find it. It's on a hard drive here somewhere. But I wanted to whip it out to play it for you today and could not locate it.
Oh, you're wonderful. Well, I'll send you another copy.
Please do, because I thought it was a cute takeoff on the old Animals song.
Yes, well, they did it much better, but we rewrote the words so that it was pertinent to being stuck on the tarmac, and I think it was very funny. And we've been hoping that people would do a peaceful protest by singing the chorus to our version of the song when they're stuck in the plane.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a great idea.
I think so.
Well, if I get the opportunity, I'll be happy to lead that.
Cool.
So you are leading a lawsuit that may become a class action suit against American Airlines for your 9 hours and 17 minutes of anguish. What's the status of that, Kate?
Well, we had our first hearing a couple of weeks ago in Oakland in federal court, and they have so far allowed us to stay alive as a case, and although it hasn't been turned into a class action lawsuit yet, we have one filed in Arkansas and one filed in California, and they're in federal court, and it will have to be brought together at some point, but the judge, Claudia Wilkins, who heard it, did allow the case to move forward, and we're hoping that at the next hearing that happens again. American Airlines is clearly fighting very, very hard to get this dismissed on the grounds of preemption, which means that the federal government preempts the states and that there's no way that you can regulate service to passengers. And so, you know, it's a real challenge. And also, they have an enormous number of attorneys. And we have a very small team of attorneys in comparison. So we'll have to see how it goes. At every possible point, the airlines have pushed back with regards to anything that we've asked for.
Just tell them next time, push back from the gate and
that's right.
Take off.
Yeah, and take off. That's the end of the sentence. They push back a lot.
Now, Kate, you mentioned preemption, and this is a critical issue because New York State passed a law. I think Elliot Spitzer, before he went down in flames, actually signed it. And it was invalidated by a federal court. And it would have put some limitations on how long you could be trapped on the runway of tarmac without being let off the plane or being given some supplies and comforts. And we also have a bill that Assemblymember Mark Leno is carrying here in California. And is that written in a way that would protect passengers without triggering the federal preemption?
Yes. He has been extremely cautious about the regulation of routes, rates, and services not being included in this, and is distinguishing very well so the difference between getting food and beverages to people on aircraft that need them and hygienic toilets, the difference between that and what the Deregulation Act meant as a service. And he's a very bright guy, and his staff is really sharp. And I think there's a very good chance of this passing. And there was a suit a few years ago that leads me into what I think will end up happening here, that the Supreme Court decided. There, actually, what happened in the lawsuit is that there was, I think it was Morales versus TWA, and a flight attendant was barreling down the aisle with a cart and broke someone's arm and shoulder. And when the lawsuit happened, the Supreme Court determined that in District 9, which is California, Oregon, and Washington, states could regulate the delivery of food and beverages to the airline passengers. So we have a much better shot at holding up the law here, although I do disagree with the New York federal court that overturned it. I, of course, much more agree with the first federal court that held it up, Judge Kahn. And also there's a possibility that that New York law may go to the Supreme Court on an appeal. So New York law.
And
so,
Kate, tell me briefly about the Senate action last week. You've been promoting a passenger's bill of rights with a very simple and understandable points to it. And you told me before we went on the air that it failed in the Senate right along party lines.
Yes, that's correct. And it was one of the biggest shocks of our coalition in the sense that all systems were go, and we had heard that the funding issues between general aviation and the commercial airlines had been resolved. And so Senator Rockefeller and Harry Reid, Senator Harry Reid, brought the bill to the floor, and a whole week and a half was wasted, in a sense, because the true colors of the Republicans ended up showing up. And we're a nonpartisan issue. We have equal numbers of Republicans that have been stuck on aircraft, as we do Democrats and Libertarians.
I bet, yeah.
You know, they don't like false imprisonment any more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what's been a really horrible kind of awakening for our members, but they all are in the same boat. They're all screaming, don't make this a partisan issue, please. Stay in touch with the issue itself and pass the FAA reauthorization bill, because everything in it, including our passenger rights, will ultimately help airline passengers and will restore some dignity to air travel.
Well, and Kate Hanna, with the merger game that's underway, with Delta taking over Northwest and other mergers and marriages likely to happen, we're going to have just a handful of really huge airlines, and we must have a regulatory scheme that protects consumers. We cannot just go down, you know, continue to go down the path we're on.
I so agree with you, and I believe that all of our members agree with you, and huge factions of people agree with that idea. And we're, although we're pushing for minimum regulation, there are some avid cries for full re-regulation of the airlines right now.
Yeah, Kate, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for fighting for us, and
I hope
I don't have to call you tomorrow.
Well, if you do, it'll be a fun conversation. Just use my cell phone.
Okay, will do. Kate Hanna,
all right.
FlyersRights.org.
Windmill for the night, love forever hand in hand. Take it all in on your stride. It is.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Barack Obama wins the support of another former rival.
Join me in helping send Barack Obama to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
John Edwards spoke at an Obama rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan. CBS News political director Steve Chigaris says this is a coup for Obama.
It gives the impression that big-time Democrats that are undeclared at this point are getting behind Obama. And I think that's what Obama's hoping is going to happen here, is that people will see that these folks who hadn't endorsed to this point are now coming out in favor of him.
More from CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds.
This comes at a time when Hillary Clinton was trying to gather momentum after her big win in West Virginia over Barack Obama. It also comes just as she is meeting with her chief fundraisers to see whether she should proceed or can proceed with her campaign.
In an interview for the CBS Evening News recorded before Edwards' announcement, Clinton said she'll finish the remaining primaries no matter what.
Once we have a nominee, which we don't yet have, we'll have a unified Democratic Party, and I'm going to work my heart out to make sure we elect a Democratic president.
The Bush administration today designated the polar bear a threatened species because its habitat, Arctic sea ice, is melting.
This is a historic decision. This is the administration's clearest acknowledgement to date of global warming's brutal impact.
Cassie Siegel at the Center for Biological Diversity. Her enthusiasm is not shared by Melanie Duchin of Greenpeace, Alaska.
We have unprecedented
Arctic meltdown and ice loss. And the only way to deal with that and protect the polar bear is to deal with global warming. And the administration just refuses to take any action.
Interior Secretary Dirk Kempthorne, in making the polar bear announcement, stopped short of launching a campaign against global warming.
The Endangered Species Act is not the means, nor the method, nor the vehicle by which you can deal with global climate change.
Chinese authorities put the confirmed earthquake death toll at nearly 15,000, and they say nearly 26,000 people are still buried in collapsed buildings. But CBS News reporter Celia Hatton has more from Beijing.
Horrors are everywhere. In the distant city of Yingxiu, soldiers brave dangerous landslides, discovering less than a quarter of the 10,000 inhabitants still alive. And further disaster was averted today when soldiers were sent in to repair severe cracking in a dam upriver from the quake's epicenter.
In many cases, rescue workers are digging with their bare hands. Fear of inflation eased just a bit today when the government reported that consumer prices rose just 0.2% in April. Energy prices leveled off, but the cost of food jumped 0.9%. Energy prices fell today, oil down nearly $2 to $123.90 a barrel, and the stock market was encouraged by that. The Dow up 66 points to 12,898. The Nasdaq gained nearly 2 points. This is CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Annoying allergies? Why take Claritin when you can switch to Allivert? Allivert has the same allergy relief ingredient as Claritin, but Allivert costs a lot less. Claritin can't beat the strength of Allivert, and quick-dissolving Allivert bursts into action the instant you take it, so you know non-drowsy allergy relief is on the way. So stick it to your allergies. Experience the relief and value of Allivert. Visit Allivert.com for your $4 coupon.
Use as directed. Price comparison based on IRI data as of 3/23/08 on average price of daily dosage brands or trademarks of their respective owners.
To paraphrase a credit card commercial, what's in your medicine cabinet? CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan reports.
Got a problem? Take a pill. A new study says now just over half of all insured Americans are on some kind of prescription medication.
The biggest jump in all the age groups appears to be in the 20 to 44-year-old, which I think is surprising to many.
Dr. Robert Epstein at Medco, the pharmaceutical management company that did the study, says there's been a sharp rise in people being treated for obesity, cholesterol, and high blood pressure.
The bad news is that we just seem to have a lot more people with these problems.
Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Paul McCartney might want to avoid environmentalists when he's driving around in his new Lexus. The luxury car maker, which sponsored McCartney's U.S. tour 3 years ago, gave him a $158,000 hybrid. But instead of going by boat, the Lexus was flown from Japan to England in a cargo plane. Critics say that flight burned as much fuel as driving the car all the way around the world 300 times. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Did you know your home can help you pay for college or a home renovation?
Here's a Smart Borrower tip, courtesy of the Smart Borrower Center at LendingTree.com.
Because home equity loans are secured by your home, their interest rates are generally lower than non-secured loans, saving you money. Just be smart about how much you borrow and don't take out more than you can afford.
For more information and objective advice on lending, visit the Smart Borrower Center at LendingTree.com/smartborrower today or call 1-800-555-TREE for information and licensing.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway to the Avail 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, about an hour and a half ago, in Michigan, John Edwards endorsed Barack Obama for president. Hillary, it's time for you to exit stage left. And you can do it on your terms. You can call it a victory. But please, find the exit, will you?
I feel so extraordinary. Something's got a hold on me. I get this feeling I'm in motion. A certain sense of liberty. I can't cause an affair. I don't care if I'm here tomorrow.
And John Edwards' endorsement comes with a little bit of heft that's not available to virtually anybody else on the political scene. And that is, John Edwards has pledged delegates in Florida. He doesn't have any in Michigan, but as you'll hear in a moment from Senator Obama, and we'll get a little bit of a snippet of Senator Edwards, they went to Michigan. This is the first time Obama's been able to campaign there because he honored the pledge not to participate in their primary in January because it had been moved up in violation of the Democratic National Committee's rules. And Edwards' endorsement, because he controls delegates in Florida, means that the Clinton campaign can no longer pretend that by counting her victories in Florida and Michigan, that she would somehow grab the nomination from Obama. The math has never worked, but she has made that case repeatedly over the past few weeks, most recently, I think yesterday, in West Virginia. So I want to play a little clip, and then we'll go to your phone calls. 888-5-PETER-B, this is the Free Speech Zone. Former Democratic presidential candidate Mike Gravel will join us in about half an hour. He's now seeking the Libertarian nomination. That's a whole different quadrant, and we'll talk about that. But let's take you to Grand Rapids, Michigan, where Barack Obama spoke before a huge crowd and debuted his endorsement from John Edwards. And I'm trying to get this player to work a little bit, and let's listen here.
And I felt bad about it. I didn't have a chance to talk to you guys about the issues. I felt guilty about not campaigning. And so, as a consequence, I decided that I would try to give you something special. I decided that on my first full day of campaigning in Michigan, that I wouldn't be fooling around, that I wasn't going to just do the same old thing, but I decided that I was going to bring out one of the greatest leaders we have in the Democratic Party. Please give it up for my friend, John Edwards.
So they go to a Springsteen-fueled intermission here, and let's see if I can get this to fast forward. John Edwards is now at the podium. And let's listen to the senator from North Carolina for a moment.
Thank you, thank you. So the question is, what am I doing here? You know, I was promised a jet ski. And I hadn't gotten it yet. I am proud to be here with all of you. Proud to be in Michigan. Proud to be in Grand Rapids. During the course of this presidential campaign, I've gotten to know the candidates and the top candidates very, very well. We have all been out speaking about the causes that are so near and dear to our hearts as Democrats. And now we're here down to two amazing candidates. And before I get too far, I want to take just a minute and say a word about my friend and your friend, Senator Hillary Clinton.
Obama is clapping. The crowd starts to boo, and he signals with his hand to silence them.
In the past few months, I've gotten to know Senator Clinton very well. We've talked. We've met in North Carolina. We've talked about the things that she cares about that every single one of you care about the men and women in this country who don't have health care, about the children who don't have health care, about the men and women in America who just want to have a decent job and go to work. We've talked about our own children and our own families, and what I've learned during that time, and I've gotten to know her very well, is that she believes with every fiber of our being that America can be a better place and that we need change to make America what it's capable of being. And I want to tell you, and I know this is hard to understand sometimes, but it is very, very hard to get up every day and do what she's done. It is hard to go out there and fight and speak up when the odds turn against you. And what she has shown is strength and character. And what drives her is something that every single one of us can and should appreciate. She cares deeply about the working people in this country. She cares about the families who are losing everything because somebody got sick. She cares about our men and women who are putting their lives on the line in Iraq and Afghanistan. This tenacity has shown her strength and her determination. She is a woman who, in my judgment, is made of steel. And she's a leader in this country, not because of her husband, but because of what she has done, because of speaking out, because of standing up.
Interesting that Edward's voice cracked there as he mentioned Bill Clinton.
And we, when this nomination battle is over, and it will be over soon.
Yes, it will.
Brothers and sisters.
This is the man who controls that.
Brothers and sisters, we must come together as Democrats and in the fall stand up for what matters for the future of America to make America what it needs to be. And we are a stronger party because Hillary Clinton is a Democrat. We are a stronger country because of her years of public service, and we're going to have a stronger presidential nominee in the fall because of her work. Now,
so that's Senator John Edwards in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I think he's going to get to his endorsement now.
Is the profound
Well, the crowd's not going to let him continue. They're shouting Obama. Let's see if we can fast forward here.
That we have good jobs that can fill these empty factories, and that the anxiety that all of our people face every day can change when we finally make two Americas, one America, for every single one of us.
So I'm going to drop out of this now. I think you got the message there. It was very interesting to hear Senator Edwards offer those kind comments about Senator Clinton. And it is hoped that this kind of a rousing recognition of her strengths and her contribution to the race this year will enable her to save face and leave the campaign with dignity. And that's my hope. I am not angry at Hillary Clinton overall. I am disappointed in the way the campaign has attacked Obama and supported virulent attacks from the right wing. But that's how politics is played in this country. And I am hopeful that with this endorsement, the Clinton campaign will recognize that they have no more room to fantasize and pretend that somehow she can wrest this nomination away from Barack Obama. So I think this really is a clincher, and I invite your comments. 888-5 Peter B, and particularly our listeners in Oregon. Some of you still haven't voted. You've got your mail-in ballot and have a few days still to return it. So maybe this will change your mind. I don't know. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. Grab a line and let me know what's on your mind. Andy in New York, thanks for holding on, Andy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Doing well today, and this makes me feel even better.
Yeah, I voted for John Edwards. I wish he had done this sooner. I don't know what he was waiting for.
Well, I think he was angling, and we don't know what kind of a deal he made with Obama. I don't know if we're looking here at the next vice president. I like a lot about Edwards and his positions. When I get into my reptilian political calculations, I have to acknowledge that John Edwards didn't contribute much to the Kerry ticket, and in the early primaries didn't show much strength. And presumably he could help win a southern state or two, but that's not really something that he's proven to date.
You know, I have to agree with you. I don't think there's any way he'd want to go for a VP again.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he just, maybe he was on a leash when he was with John Kerry, but I don't think they let him do what he could have done, especially when he went face-to-face with Cheney. I was hoping he would eat Cheney alive, and he was basically a pussycat.
He was. He was way too polite. They did bring up the gay daughter thing, but that was about it.
Yeah, that was tough. But I'd like to see him as Attorney General. I think that might be. But, you know, Hillary Clinton, one thing, you know, I really despise the way she's run the campaign, like mm-hmm. a lot of other people do.
Yeah.
But, boy, she's an attack dog. Get her in there as Attorney General. Somebody to go after these criminals that we've just been through that basically have made the last 8 years a living hell for anybody that loves this country.
Yeah.
They made it a hell. You know, just hell.
I'm not sure what role there will be for Hillary Clinton in the Obama campaign or an Obama presidency. And it's really compounded by her baggage, and I'm really referring to the former president. Because how do you handle Bill Clinton if you give Hillary a high-level cabinet post like attorney general or even consider her for vice president? What do you do with Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he has to be the center of attention. And that's the way he operates. And unfortunately, I think he would have a lot of say in who she might bring along as well. Like, you get the Robert Rubens, you get the pro-corporatists,
right.
And you start getting this legislation that we could have gotten if we had Republicans in, which Republicans probably couldn't pass. But if you have somebody more moderate who's got the great gift of fooling and distorting what they say and misrepresenting it like Clinton does, it's all going to be beautiful and great. When for the working people, I mean, he'd just rip the shirt off your back if you were a working man.
Yeah.
He did nothing for working people, as far as I'm concerned.
Andy, I appreciate your comments. I'm late for a break here, and I know you called about the airline stuff, but we'll come back to that another time, okay? Thanks for calling in today. I appreciate it. We're going to take more calls next in the Free Speech Zone. Tell me your comment about John Edwards' endorsement of Barack Obama and what it means for Hillary Clinton's future. I've got lines open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Presidential candidate Mike Gravel joins us about 10, 12 minutes away.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Have you noticed that everyone is talking about being green? High-efficiency light bulbs, recycling, sustainable products that are healthy for us and crucial to our environment. Well, check out the new furniture store in town that is totally green. The name is SC41 Furniture, and it's our grand opening. Our mattress systems are designed to feel better, last longer, and sleep deeper. They're made from naturally ecologically healthy components, like high-quality latex that holds its shape and provides extra support. SC41 also offers sustainable furniture that is made in the old-world craftsman style with no harmful chemicals, non-toxic stains, solid wood construction, and formaldehyde-free glues. Sustainable style for the rest of your life. So if you want to better the environment and live healthier without compromising comfort, quality, or beauty, come visit the new store in town, SC41 Furniture, on 41st Avenue across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz.
I'm Jane Parker, and I'm running for Monterey County Supervisor. When Monterey County needed help on the problem of child abuse, I helped bring together schools, law enforcement, and social service providers. In the space of just 4 months, we developed a successful new program to protect children that helped hundreds of families in the first year. As supervisor, I'll tackle the problem of gang violence. We need to bring our communities together to keep our neighborhoods safe and our kids out of trouble. Learn more at electjaneparker.com and vote for me, Jane Parker, for supervisor on June 3rd.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start chop in San Benito County, northbound 101 before 156 east. A pickup truck with an overturned trailer is off to the shoulder. CHP on the scene. Tow truck is on the way, but look for some heavy traffic as you approach the area. Highway 9, a new accident coming in for Santa Cruz County. Looks like it's northbound after Paradise Park. A couple of cars off to the side with injuries. Looks like there's debris from this crash in the lanes. Drive with caution there. And from Monterey, heads up northbound Highway 1 at Aguajito Road. A big box. That's in the left-hand lane. Car swerving to avoid that as they go by. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains now currently checks in Stalin accident-free. Highway 68, we have no problems to tell you about. This is brought to you by Gold Bond First Aid Cream. Rash, skin irritation, or dry skin, reach for Gold Bond Medicated Cream for fast, long-lasting relief. It's the quick fix for almost every itch. Get Gold Bond Medicated Cream. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. And I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you're listening in the preceding segment, you heard from Grand Rapids, Michigan, John Edwards endorsing Barack Obama for president. And as I mentioned, because of the Florida delegates, the pledged delegates that John Edwards controls, this is a critical shift in the landscape. And I think it pulls the rug out from under any long shot hopes Hillary Clinton has. So it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out over the next few days. Let's take your calls. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. And Patrick's on the line from Monterey. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Peter. Not to steal any of John Hagee's fire, but thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my God. Thank you, John Edwards. I don't know about Hillary for attorney general. I mean, she'd probably make a good one, and she might make a good leader of the Senate. But I'd like to see Edwards as Attorney General, and I'd like to see him go after the Bush administration officials and corporate criminals. And, it's time to have a second coming of the Teddy Roosevelt trust busting and break up all these media monopolies. That would be one thing that I'd love to see.
Patrick, I think you're right on there, and I think Edwards would be an excellent Attorney General. He also made a point in passing about Hillary as a Senate leader. And I actually kind of warm to that. There's some ways where she's too corporate, too DLC, and sometimes too much of a compromiser. But Harry Reid has been a failure, in my view. And I would love to see a shuffle in the Senate. Dick Durbin from Illinois is pretty strong. But I would not be opposed to Senator Clinton leapfrogging ahead of some of her colleagues to become the Senate Majority Leader. That could be very interesting.
Well, I think it's a toss-up between who's been worse, Reid or Pelosi. And, I mean, why can't we have Waxman or Conyers as the Speaker of the House?
It's simply a matter of the politics that they are not in the thread that leads to the leadership.
Can I leave you with one question? Now,
sure.
If Bush pardons everybody and their dog, and we can have some evidence that, you know, these are phony pardons. You can't pardon people when you know they've committed crimes against the country and treason. Is there any leeway in the Constitution to overturn those pardons?
No.
Thanks, Peter.
Yep, the privilege to pardon is absolute. And even, you know, if he pardons everybody in the administration, I guess it would make any investigations or criminal prosecutions go away. But, we'll have to play that out and see how it goes. I just don't imagine that he would go beyond the cabinet level. But, hey, I have been wrong before about this president. Never want to misunderestimate Bush. Hal in Coos Bay, you're on the air. Go ahead, Hal.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, thanks.
I thought you might want a few words from Oregon.
Yeah, and you've still got the possibility of voting unless you've mailed your ballot in.
Oh, no. I mean, I haven't changed my mind, of course. But a week ago or so, went to a political rally for Democrats in which Tom Hartman spoke at.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get a feeling, even though the Democrats were very, very touchy about anybody saying anything pro one way or the other, and Tom Hartman's message was sort of like reconciliation and all that, and I kind of went up to him afterwards and said, I don't think I can do it. But but aside from that, but I did get a feeling as though, just a general feeling from the mood of the audience, I kind of thought three-quarters Obama, one-quarter Clinton, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, but Bill Clinton has been forerunning, you know, coming out here to Oregon to try and, you know, get to this blue-collar state of ours and talk to us about energy and how we're, you know, it's really important for us to be the leaders in alternative energy, which I do think is really true, and I'm really hoping to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just have a small anecdote that I thought was kind of cute. Was a friend of mine here on the coast, her daughter, she told her daughter is staying in Roseburg, which is one of the stops that Bill Clinton made just last night.
Okay.
And
go ahead, I got 20 seconds. Go ahead, Hal.
And she told her daughter to make sure to go to this rally. And he ended up talking to her and actually kissing her hand at the end of it.
Oh, really? Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call, Hal. Appreciate it. Coming up next, Mike Gravel, former Democratic candidate for president, now Libertarian candidate. He'll join us next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America. His wisdom, courage, and integrity will give us peace and strong prosperity. Our people need a new direction, security and health protection. With global warming creeping upon us, we need a president that we can trust. Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America.
America needs Barack Obama. I'm Joan Hopkins, and I wrote this song. Help us play it on radio stations across the country. Go to deltawavepress.com or call me at 831-659-2086 to help America.
With gentleness overcome anger. With generosity overcome meanness. With truth overcome deceit. These words are from Buddha, and they are some of the most beautiful and powerful words on the planet. They allow us to free ourselves of our anger, our pride, and our sorrow. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am honored to say that I am here on KRXA with my little radio program, Aspire, which is heard on Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And I hope that you will join me for a little bit of the uncommon, maybe something outside the box, something that speaks to the truth that lives within you and me. And maybe we will just find that which is the very meaning of our own existence. Please join me Saturday and Sundays at 9 a.m. here on KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco.
Uh-oh.
Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the actions behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song and dance, another poor sucker who never had a chance. It's just another captain going down with the ship. Just another jerk taking pride in his work.
The presidential election campaign continues in these United States, and as you heard just in the last few minutes, Barack Obama has been endorsed by John Edwards, and that does appear to be a clincher in many ways and should lead to an exit strategy for Hillary Clinton from the campaign. And here's a gentleman who was on the stage with all of those characters earlier this year, former senator from Alaska, a Democrat, Mike Gravel, now a candidate for the Libertarian Party's nomination for president. Mike, how are you today?
Very good, Peter, and a delight to be on your program, Mike.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
Had one just yesterday, and apparently you survived.
And I don't want to count anymore.
Well, I won't ask you for a number. I have a general idea. And before we talk about your move into the libertarian zone, what is your comment on Senator Obama receiving the endorsement of John Edwards?
I think it was predictable. John would, obviously, Obama's got to find somebody to run as vice president. And clearly, Edwards would be a likely candidate. He's been there once, which would give you some indication he might not be a candidate again, but you never know. And certainly the pressure was on to endorse, and these people react that way. That's politics as usual.
Mm-hmm.
They got to endorse.
And in some respects, by the way, our listeners think of Edwards more of an attorney general than the VP candidate. And I think that would be an interesting use of his skills.
It certainly would. It certainly would. He's a very competent young man.
Yeah. And what do you think about Hillary and what it's going to take to persuade her that the jig is up and she doesn't have a prayer, time to go?
Well, Joe Trippi had an article where he regretted advising Edwards to get out of the race. And I quite agree with Joe Trippi. You know, you just stay in. What's the rush of Hillary getting out? She may not have the count in her favor, but who knows what happens between now and August.
Right, but she's in the red $20 million. She doesn't, by any measure, she can't win in an above-board way. And so Keith Olbermann has used the phrase, the Tanya Harding strategy, of trying to find a way to damage Obama so that she survives that. And he's made it through the Jeremiah Wright and the Bittergate stuff relatively well, not totally unscathed. But it doesn't seem that she's been able to make that case that he's damaged goods and therefore she is the next best choice.
Well, but just look at it this way. How many... I didn't know about Wright six months ago. Did anybody?
Sean Hannity did, yes. He's been running clips of Reverend Wright for a year.
Okay, well then, but it finally lodged. And so who knows what would happen a month from now or 45 days from now that might change the dynamic and the equation. And so Hillary's entitled to stay there to as long as she's got a large body of delegates at the convention.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what conventions are all about. Go to the convention and take the ballot and see who wins.
Well, she's certain
of the media cranking up and say, well, you got to resign because you can't possibly win. Who can tell what can possibly happen?
Well, she's in strong second place, but the math doesn't work for her to get into first place, again, absent a major setback to Obama.
Suppose he had a heart attack.
Well, there's Al Gore.
Well, seriously, Peter, this is handicapping in a very negative kind of way. I'm no friend of Hillary's, believe me. But I don't see any reason why she's got to get out because the media thinks she should get out. I mean, that's what you have a convention for. Otherwise, the convention is merely a coronation and a waste of taxpayers' money.
Mm-hmm. I do think there's a case to be made, Senator, that prolonging the inevitable is damaging to the Democratic nominee, strengthens John McCain, gives him this kind of free ride between now and the convention. And in sum, I believe it is time for Hillary to recognize what most of the other Democratic candidates had to face along the way, and that is that this is a very unusual year, and Barack Obama has triumphed. And I believe that's something that she needs to work on acceptance.
Well, Peter B., that's what makes a horse race, is
yeah.
that we have different views and different opinions. And I have an opinion as a person who's been in 18 electoral contests, and I would say that Hillary's entitled to go to a convention with her delegates, and then when the ballot's taken, that's when she loses.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't lose because the media determines that she's lost.
No, it's not the media, Senator. It's really a matter of the rules of the Democratic Party, and that she's tried to bend and stretch those rules to make a case for her candidacy. And most recently, she's descended into wonk talk about campaigns with language that can be offensive, separating white voters from others, and really making it look like this is a campaign that she calculated along racial lines. The victory in West Virginia is purely based on white voters, and there clearly was racist sentiment among some of those people.
There may well be. But you're talking to the wrong guy about rules. Well, of course you are, because stop and think. The Democratic Party had these sanctioned debates, and so General Electric decided that I didn't meet their criteria,
mm-hmm.
and so they conspire with the Democratic leadership, and they cut me out.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
now,
but what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If there's going to be a race, let the race go on.
Now, Senator, are you still technically a candidate in the Democratic race, or have you pulled out?
No, I've pulled out. I've refiled papers with the FEC that has caused me to be a Libertarian candidate. I'm officially a member. I paid my dues with the Libertarian Party, and I frankly think Well, first off, you got to understand, Peter, that when I was in the Senate, I was viewed as a maverick.
Yes.
A misfit. I had to fight the Democratic leadership to end the draft and the Republican. I had to fight both with respect to nuclear issues. I had to fight both with respect to the Alaska pipeline. And coincidentally, all of the major issues that I'm known for were very libertarian in nature. And so I, you know, have unusual libertarian credentials in that regard. And when I left the office in 1980, I lost in a primary, so the Democratic Party never supported me in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And but when I decided to run again because I wanted to get the message across to the American people that they need to be empowered, the answer is not with representative government, the answer is with the people. I thought of filing as a libertarian, but then I knew that I wouldn't get into the debates, and I wanted to get into the debates to be able to give my point of view. And my point of view was very disturbing to the Democrats. And what was disturbing was when I pointed out that the Democrats were giving George Bush the power to go to war in Iran after they've given him the power to go to war in Iraq.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, it's a war party.
Well, Senator, I really appreciate that you did stay in until the networks cut you out, that you did articulate real strong challenges to the corporate leanings of Democratic candidates and also their foreign policy blunders. And I give you high marks for that. I really appreciate it. And you clearly were somebody who Tim Russert and the other media gatekeepers really didn't know how to deal with.
That's right, and I've got a book coming out called The Kingmakers, which is an attack on American mainstream media, which not only what they did to me, that's small peanuts, but what they did to the country in permitting us to go to war with Iraq when they didn't do their homework. They didn't question, and they're not questioning now with respect to Iran. Have you heard anybody, Peter, talk about where's the proof that Petraeus and the other people are talking about that Iran is doing various things? I see no proof. I see the stuff coming out of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the same people that misled us before.
Well, we routinely question the issues related to Iran and the claims that have been made by Bush and Cheney, the generals on the ground in Iraq, and this whole drumbeat.
But, Peter, that's you. That's not the five networks.
Indeed.
That's you.
Oh, I understand that. I just want you to know there are people out here who are challenging it. But
I quite agree.
We don't have the same megaphone that the corporate media offers.
Well, and that's the tragedy for the country right now, because look at what they've served up to us. Here, the mainstream media, right now, as we come into the close, here's our choices. You got McCain, who's a warmonger, and you got an untried young man who essentially is really, if you give it analysis, is really no different than McCain. And that disturbs people when I say that. And I'll bet you it disturbs you, Peter. But
it does. It does. I think that, you know, some of those comparisons can be made. I have concerns about Senator Obama vis-a-vis Iran. He has not offered, a clear separation from the Clinton-Bush-McCain warmongering positions. He has talked about diplomacy and his willingness to meet with leaders who are not currently talking to.
But that's rhetoric, Peter.
Right.
Let's look at the facts.
He hasn't explicitly...
He was asked point blank. If at the end of 4 years, this was in debate, point blank, at the end of 4 years, would you make a pledge that you would have the troops out of Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
He would not make that pledge.
Yep,
and
that is true.
He's also come out in favor of increasing the military by 100,000 troops. What for? We're supposed to be at peace. And then he's getting more money from the nuclear industry than anybody else. And then the pièce de résistance is, you recall that he was so proud of boasting about the fact that he and Feingold had passed this legislation requiring bundlers to be exposed to who they are and who they represent. Well, do you realize that he and the Democratic leadership, now conspiring with the Republican, have neutered the FEC so that in 08, this very serious election, that the FEC can do nothing to police this electoral contest. Nothing other than just report the money, but the law that he passed cannot be implemented because they can't have a quorum to go ahead and put forth the regulations. And guess what? He was the one that had the hold on the legislation to get the quorum. And when it was revealed in the New York Times, then he said, well, I've withdrawn the hold, but the hold is still on, and now because McCain's involved in this brouhaha, the Republicans are conspiring. So here you got these two political parties that have conspired to withhold all possible information to the American people. I mean, they've neutered the FEC.
Well, they certainly have. It is completely sidelined this year. Senator Mike Gravel with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take a break and return. Got some callers we'll go to. You can join them toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Mike Gravel has filed with the Libertarian Party and is competing for their presidential nomination. The convention is in Denver in the next couple of weeks. 47 minutes past the hour. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in San Benito County, northbound 101 before 156 east. A pickup truck with an overturned trailer is off to the shoulder. CHP on the scene. Tow truck is on the way, but look for some heavy traffic as you approach the area. Highway 9, a new accident coming in for Santa Cruz County. Looks like it's northbound after Paradise Park. A couple of cars off to the side with injuries. Looks like there's debris from this crash in the lanes. Drive with caution there. And for Monterey, heads up northbound Highway 1 at Aguajito Road. A big box. That's in the left-hand lane. Car swerving to avoid that as they go by. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains now currently checks in Stalin accident-free. Highway 68, we have no problems to tell you about. This is brought to you by Gold Bond First Aid Cream. Rash, skin irritation, or dry skin, reach for Gold Bond Medicated Cream for fast, long-lasting relief. It's the quick fix for almost every itch. Get Gold Bond Medicated Cream. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. And I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Nine minutes in front of the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. Mike Gravel is with us, former Democratic senator from Alaska. He ran in the presidential campaign as a Democrat this year and has now switched to the Libertarian Party. And, Mike, the convention's in Denver, and when does it start?
It starts on the 22nd and goes until the 26th. And on Sunday the 25th is when they will make a decision as to who is the nominee. They'll probably have several ballots. The other member, the only other member who has really government experience is Bob Barr,
mm-hmm.
who was just recently announced. There's myself, and there's Wayne Allen Root, Mike Gingos. There's about eight viable candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Libertarians normally have, well, because they haven't had any people with any government experience, they've picked normal citizens, business people, or something like that.
Yeah, I know Mike Badnarik, who ran last time.
Yeah, I've not met him. I have a mutual friend who's trying to get him to see if he would support me.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, if you're going to offer somebody to be the standard bearer of the party, and potentially, and I say this within quotes, the leader of the free world, and that has to be re-earned again because we've lost that title, you've got to have somebody that's got some foreign policy experience, some domestic policy experience, and otherwise you don't have any credibility with the American people.
And are you bringing Obama girl in to endorse you?
I tried, and who knows? If I were to be successful getting the nomination, and if Obama were hiding under his desk and refused to debate, then maybe she might switch and would not take too kindly to a cowardly person.
I'd like people to check out the video at YouTube. It's pretty cool. And Mike, you've proven yourself to be almost as rhythm impaired as I am.
And I got to tell you, I am impaired.
Now, about Bob Barr, he really is a highly conservative Republican. He has separated himself from the neocons. The only good thing I can say about him is that he embraces a return to constitutional rule. He's embraced an agenda that Bruce Spine and he put together, and, you know, I can support that. But he has a rich history of being far more conservative than, say, Mike Gravel. And we do see that there's some Democrats who are warming to the idea of Bob Barr on as the Libertarian nominee only as a spoiler to take votes away from McCain.
And that's unfortunate because if that's the case, and I don't know that to be the case, but I do know that he has not talked about winning. When I first started in debates with the Libertarians, I was very surprised that all of the presidential candidates were talking about, oh, if we could get a million votes, if we could turn around and grow the party a little bit. And I came into the race, I said, forget growing the party. We got to win. Somebody's got to save this country. And it's sure not going to be the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. And I think we can win if we really rise up to the challenge. And so, but Bob Barr hasn't talked that way.
Mm-hmm.
He just talks about, well, he just talks about his politics. I would characterize Bob, who instantly as a person is somewhat charming, but I would characterize him as politics as usual, but he does represent a wing of the Libertarian Party. You say conservative. I think that they're more moderate than the extremists. There's a lot of people, well, not a lot, but there's a number of people in the Libertarian Party, not unlike the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, who take a very, very solid position on an area that sometimes doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some calls here. Dave in Eureka wants to talk to Mike Gravel. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, Mike Gravel, I think you more than anybody speaks the truth that this country needs to hear. I know you're kind of held in a closet, but there's still some of us out here that are hearing you. I do not think that libertarianism is the answer. I don't suppose you do either, but you got to be somewhere. And I would like to see you speaking more to the problem that you know is real, and that is election fraud. Republicans rig elections. You're a good man, Mike Gravel. Some of us are hearing you.
Well, first off, you're quite right. The election process in this country is corrupt. It's not just fraud. It's blatantly corrupt. And if they were doing this in Russia, we'd be pointing to them as to how bad it is. Now, the only way you're going to change that, and this is what's unfortunate, and we're pedaling upstream here, but you know the Democratic Party can't change this because they and the Republicans have the monopoly on all of this. And so if you're going to break the monopoly, you've got to do it outside of representative government, which is what they monopolize. And so that's what I hope to bring to the Libertarian Party, is the message to empower the people. And the people so empowered to be able to make laws, they'll make the necessary corrections of making this fair. But until that happens, we're really in a mess.
Thank you, Dave. Now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. And Joe, welcome to the program.
Yeah, well, you heard what Alan Key said about the West Virginia primary, you know, about Obama losing by 40 points. Alan Key said, hell, I could have done that.
Yes, he could.
Yes, he could.
But seriously.
Hold on, Joe. Go, Mike. Hold on, Joe. Go ahead, Senator.
What?
No, go ahead, Senator. I'm listening.
American
Joe, I'm trying to let Senator Gravel make a comment. Go ahead.
No, the only comment I would make is that Alan Keyes could do that in several other states, not just West Virginia.
Okay, now it's your turn, Joe. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Yes, I wanted to ask Mike Gravel what he thinks about the anti-democratic, anti-American presidential debate commission that gives us these boring presidential debates every 4 years.
Oh, that's right. And I got to tell you, if I can get the Libertarian nomination and they let me in, I got to tell you, these debates will not be boring.
Yeah.
Will not be boring. They'll be held accountable for the puffery that, but look at who's brought you this. This is mainstream American media that's brought you this to what you got.
And Mike, you had Ralph Nader introduce you when you spoke at the Take Back America conference.
Yes, I did.
Guys in cahoots at all? And are you both trying to break down those doors to get into the debates this fall?
Well, I think that we're both doing it independently. Ralph is his own man. We're good friends. I respect him a great deal. In fact, I was talking to him about 3 weeks before he was going to announce. He never told me he was going to announce.
Oh, really? Okay.
Which means he's a competitor of mine.
Senator,
I still respect him.
Senator, my time is up. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Keep fighting, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much, Peter B.
My pleasure. Senator Mike Gravel, candidate for president at the Libertarian Convention that culminates on the 25th of May in Denver. I'll talk to you from Montana tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A day after Hillary Clinton's big win in West Virginia, a coup for Barack Obama. At a rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan, he was endorsed by former rival John Edwards.
I am grateful for his support, but more importantly, I want to thank John for everything that he has already done to make us one America.
Edwards praised Hillary Clinton, but said Obama is the best person to unite the country and change Washington. Jim Vandehay of Politico.com says Edwards might not bring much support to Obama's side, but his endorsement is a real blow to the Clinton campaign.
They feel this thing should go through June, that we should see what happens in places like Kentucky, and then figure out who should actually be the candidate. They're begging and pleading with people like John Edwards to hold off, don't endorse, let the entire situation play out before you jump in. So they're not happy.
Clinton campaign chairman Terry McAuliffe says they respect John Edwards, but as the voters of West Virginia showed last night, this thing is far from over.
This race now, we are ahead in the popular vote. I cannot stress this enough. She is ahead in the popular vote.
We are very close on the delegates. This is up to the voters.
Interior Secretary Dirk Kempthorne has declared the polar bear a threatened species.
Kempthorne said he made the decision because of diminishing ice shelves, a critical part of the polar bear's habitat.
Last year, Arctic sea ice fell to the lowest level ever recorded by satellite.
But he also took steps to ensure this decision wouldn't alter the Bush administration's approach to global warming or affect Arctic oil and gas development, angering Melanie Duchin of Greenpeace in Alaska.
The government is shirking its duties and its responsibilities to protect the polar bear. It's more bankrupt.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Authorities say some of the wildfires on Florida's Atlantic coast were deliberately set, and today they arrested a man named Brian Crowder.
I'm Peter King in Palm Bay. The suspect remains locked up. He's been talking about the fire he's accused of setting.
He has provided information that puts him there and has provided information that is key to the investigation.
Palm Bay Police Chief Bill Berger says they're asking Brian Crowder about the other fires, which have burned through some 12,000 acres.
He's denied any knowledge of those as of this point.
Crowder hasn't been charged with